B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. Now, I don't know what I can say other than what you guys haven't said already or thought already, frankly, today about what happened last night and where the Sixers stand in this series. It was a downright disgraceful effort. Now, listen, I'll give you game four, okay? Because that's the last bastion of heroism for the Toronto Raptors. They're in front of a home crowd, and they had just enough energy to win game four. But when you process that, and you know you're coming home in front of a raucous crowd to close out a series, and you give an effort like that is something that I do not understand. These fans have given that team everything. Not only this year, but in last year's playoffs, the fans are always there to deliver. And in a closeout game, you give them back that? I mean, there are so many ways that we can turn here with this. They're ahead 3-0, and they think the series is won. Like, they don't think they have to fight enough to win another game. They think it's going to happen by accident or by magic or just by showing up. That they're going to just win a game and go and move on to the next series. The audacity that pro athletes can think that way without wanting to give a fight. And from the opening minute, turning the ball over, giving them 10 points on turnovers. It's like, why are you here? Where is the fight? What happened to this team that we saw that was so energized early in the season? What has happened? Now, there are a lot of people that go, well, that's the Doc Rivers special. I'll get to him in a second. But if you need to be motivated as a professional player to close out a game five when you're up 3-1 in front of a sellout crowd, that speaks to the constitution of what you're all about. And that's what scares me most of all in this series. Because now I look at it and go, boy, if they don't win game six, yes, they are capable of authoring the biggest collapse in NBA history. Because right now, I'm not confident that they could be confident enough to win a game seven at home. How do you go, well, we'll be okay. If there is a game seven, we'll be okay. There's no way anybody is thinking that right now after the way they played last night. And now Dr. Rivers, you know, he didn't have him ready. And I go, well, it's more the players than Dr. Rivers. But there's got to be something about this guy's inability to shut a door on an opponent. Because it can't be ignored now. The statistics say it can't be ignored. I don't know what it is he does or doesn't do. He had him going really great guns early in the season. And now he's unable to influence how they play. I just don't understand this team. That game last night, frankly, depressed me because I couldn't believe the lack of effort that they showed. Now, James Harden, I mean, come on, James, what is that? You're a seasoned professional, former star in this league. You give them that last night? Joel, listen, I know he's been carrying this team, but I thought he was feeling sorry for himself last night a little bit with that injury. Maxey, again, just when we thought we were over the hump with the kid, he's drifted away again. And there's nobody else capable of helping him. And I know Matisse Thybulle is a very small part of this whole equation, but this is a guy who missed two games, and because he missed two games, got himself out completely out of whack and out of sync, literally hurt the team last night, and now they're going to play without him again. He can't even give them minutes to chew up. That's the essence of being selfish. These guys are selfish players. And they don't understand the urgency it takes to close out an NBA series at home. I can't believe they weren't even in the game. That team punked them last night. That should never happen. It's totally devastating, man. And listen, I'm not saying they're going to lose this series, because I do believe, I have faith, little that's left, that they can go into Toronto and find what they were about and win a game six, because they're better. All right. Guys, I don't know what you guys are saying, the same things that I've been talking about just now, and I'm not adding anything new. But the emotions of last night's game, let me hear you.
Well, I'm disgusted, truth be told. I'm disgusted for a lot of reasons. I'm disgusted on behalf of the fans who wanted to be able to focus on the draft on Thursday, and now there's people who are going to have to split their attention. They're going to have, I already talked about how people are going to be having to have the TV and have the computer and vice versa and having to split their attention. This should have been rest time and celebration time for the fans, because they deserve that, because once again, they were great. And then as far as the basketball part goes, you brought it up, the main issue. What's going to change? Now, Joel Embiid's not going to be that bad defensively all the time. That everybody has a bad game. It's a bad time to have a bad defensive game. He had one. It happens. I don't think that small part of it is going to be a pattern. But is Harden going to be any better? Nope. Is Maxey going to be any better? Nope. Is Tobias going to be any better? Nope. Is the bench going to be any better? Nope. Therefore, there is but one way to win this series, and it once again goes all back to Joel Embiid. He can't feel sorry for himself anymore. It can't be any more of this. He has to recognize that the only realistic way for this team to win is for him to be great on both ends. Now, is that why they got James Harden? So that in a game where he gets 20-10, Embiid, Harden should be able to get enough to score enough to win a game. But that's not our reality. That was the hypothetical. That was the plan. That was the way the blueprint was written up. That blueprint's got to be ripped up and burned, because that dude took 11 damn shots. Now, there's never an excuse for any player to have a bad game. What I'm saying is that we've been watching this long enough, Mike. We watched it with Simmons, and then we watched it in the Raptors series in 2019. Every time Joel Embiid went out the game, the team cratered. He was plus 90 in the series. They lose the damn series. You fast forward the bubble. He averages 30-10. Simmons is hurt. Last year, Simmons refuses to shoot. Now you get James Harden. This was for if Joel Embiid isn't getting you 40 in the game, you have another damn guy who can get you enough to get a game. Because, again, 20-10 is not good enough. But if you know he's getting 20-10, a superstar player should, a max-level player that wants a super max, should be able to say in one game, not in a whole series, in one game, okay, big man, okay, city of Philadelphia, I got this. I'm going to go get my 30-plus with 10 assists and my rebounds and everything. And they were going to win the game on the strength of me. And that has not happened, and it's not going to happen. And that's the scary part, because if he's not better, it all falls on Joel Embiid once again. And we've seen nobody can do it alone. I'm sick right now.
I think we all are sick. And, you know, I think I used up the last bit of energy I had, because I'm going back to being depressed about what I saw last night. Jen, listen, you can be angry, you can be depressed. I looked at it, I go, after I got over the anger, because I was tweeting up a storm last night. I'm going, I don't understand. Like, how do you give this kind of an effort in a closeout game?
I don't know what we were watching last night. I have no idea. No clue. I'm with you, though, Mike. I do believe that they can still win the series. I think Tyrone is.
Well, listen, I'm afraid of a game seven. I think they've got to win it in six.
I agree.
I've seen too much now about what happens in these games where the pressure's really on them. And they've got one game to work with here, and that should alleviate a little of the pressure to go into Toronto and play balls out and win a game. But if it comes down to a sphincter game in game seven, I don't know if I have faith in it.
The line's only one and a half.
Really?
I know. Let me read this Doc Rivers quote, okay? Because this is so telling to me, and this is why I'm going to bring him into the equation. I thought they were just a tougher team all night. They were more physical all night. I thought they attacked us and we didn't attack back. We didn't get into paint enough. It led to shots. I think we took a lot of tough shots. Why? Well, I don't care. That quote means nothing to me. Why? Why did you not attack? Why were your guys unable to be ready for the game? Why would you let a young team without one of their star players just come in and run rampant on you at home? Why? That's what I need to know. Why, Doc? You're the coach of this team.
And that's the issue, and it's the biggest mystery. You also brought that up, Mike. Never in the world has there been a guy who can get leads in a series. So we know he doesn't stink. He coaches well enough to get leads in series year after year after year, and then doesn't know how to close the series when the other coach figures him out. How does he not have a plan B this many years? And this would be the culmination, because he's blown 3-1, and he's blown more elimination games than anybody else in NBA history. To be the first to blow 3-0 would be a full culmination of the Doc Rivers experience, and it would be the most heartbreaking thing in the history of sports, because I didn't watch Tony Roten and Henry Sims and Hollis Thompson and all those dudes to lose a 3-0 lead in the first round. I didn't sign up for that. The fans don't deserve that. And if that happens, everybody's got to go. It has to be nuclear if that happens. Nuclear if that happens.
You know, we were sitting here a few games ago going, what a great play Doc drew up. He really coached his way through.
Right.
And now, like, you got egg in our face. He's unable to influence the game. But it more importantly, like, to the players themselves, I don't understand how they can look at themselves knowing that they gave a lackluster effort in a closeout game. That tells me about their fiber
at home,
and that's what scares me most of all. Like, to me, this team in the current form doesn't have a shot in hell to beat a tough team like Miami. Something drastically happens where they flip it around and dominate game six and get out of this series and we see something different. They're in survival mode for game six. And if it goes to game seven, guess what? The other team is the looser team. The other team's got nothing to lose. They're going, ha, 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 we just took three off these dudes. We're going to go into game seven there? That's supposed to scare us? No. The Sixers are going to be the more scared team. They're going to be the more anxious team, the one that where glass, they're going to hear glass breaking. All right, listen, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it all day. At 4 o'clock, we'll take a brief detour. On a day when we have Jay Wright coming on at 4 o'clock, the first thought in people's mind is, can he coach Thursday night? I don't know, man. Listen, we'll get through it together. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. It's the Mike Missinelli Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All righty, folks. Boy, it's going to be a long, tough day. We can do it together. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson, HVAC, Lyon, Conklin.
Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Visit one of Ferguson's Cal locations in Ben Salem, King of Prussia, Pennsauken, or Westchester. Let's start the Twitter poll. Power Bob Moyer and Sons in Doylestown brings us the Twitter poll. If you've got outdoor power equipment and you need an upgrade or you need maintenance, you can do it right there. Paul B. Moyer and Sons of Doylestown. Just look online at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen Scordo with the numbers for today and the Twitter poll.
All right. We know Embiid has to find a way to be better in game 6 or 7 to save the series. Will any other Sixers player step up? You can answer Harden, Maxey, Tobias, or nobody will step up. Right now, early votes have Maxey stepping up at 43%.
That's a mistake. No, that's a big mistake by the people because they like him. And I like him, too. He's the most he's probably the most likable athlete in Philadelphia right now. Maybe the most likable athlete in the history of Philadelphia. Physically, the Raptors have figured it out. They're just putting bodies on him, and they're making him defend on both ends. There's no adjustment for that. Short of him taking another real offseason, getting stronger, getting more savvy, playing more, that kind of thing. That doesn't happen in 2 days. That fix. He's shut down for this series. Now, if they play Miami, Lowry can't guard him. Robinson can't guard him. They'll have trouble guarding him again. The Raptors will not. They have too many big athletes who move well enough. And with Van Vliet out, it's a blessing for them because they targeted him over and over again. You can't target anybody anymore with him out. It actually ended up being a big blessing for the Raptors that he's out because there's nobody you can just attack. Everybody can hold their own on defense. Everybody they play.
Yeah, I agree with that. And he's also allowing them to take him out. He's the guy that drifts. His confidence gets cracked every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that's a Nick Nurse special. Yep. Nick Nurse goes, okay, we stop this. We stop any speed they have.
Yep, and Rich Hoffman pointed out, you know, regular guest, he'll be on later on in the week. He gets a switch on a big yesterday. And he doesn't even look to attack it. And I think that getting worn down plays a role in it because the other guys are bigger and more mm-hmm. physical. But I think looking to him to be the savior or to be the help in game 6 or 7 is a big mistake. It should be James Harden. It won't be. I think the answer is nobody. And that's where I think it all falls on the big man. Again, if he's not fantastic on both ends, they lose. And that's not how this team was supposed to be designed. But that's the reality of where we are. How the hell, Mike? I know we're about to go to court. How the hell does that guy take 11 shots yesterday? How?
He befuddles me. He just does. I think he's just he just doesn't have any more confidence in his ability, and it's come at the worst time. He just doesn't have any confidence. He doesn't have the swag that he had.
But I'm talking about James Harden takes 11 shots.
Yeah, I know.
11 shots?
I know. Like, he passed up shots, too. Like, he got to places where, mm-hmm. he an 8-10 footer he had.
Right.
And he passed it up. And he's not confident that he is a viable player at this point.
Right. But to your other point, Embiid's got a shake off. I'm sure the hands bothered him. And I'm sure he feels a little bit snake bit. He's had a great year and he's carried the team and now he has to deal with something.
Yeah.
But he has to also look to his left and look to the right and realize there's no help. You got to go do it your damn self. And if you don't do it, no one else is going to. Stop with the trust your teammates. And yes, you're going to keep getting doubled on every catch. Keep moving the ball when you need to. But for the most part, you got to be perfect because your teammates aren't good enough. They're just not.
They got to win game 6. They really do. Can you imagine it? The ignominy, or is that how you say it?
Sounds right.
The ignominy of losing, being the first team to blow a 3-0 lead.
What a Philadelphia thing.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Well, the Flyers were the first ones to come back from 3-0, weren't they?
Yes.
The Flyers came back from 3-0.
So it can be done.
It can't.
They also lost 3 straight to the Devils, up 3-1.
Yes. Yeah, that 3-1 has happened, but I mean, yeah. What happened out there with Doc and them against Portland in the finals? Weren't they up 3-1 in that series?
Yeah.
And they lost? So, I mean, stuff happens, but it's just, the reason I'm disappointed is I was hoping a day would come where if it wasn't great, we could say, wow, did you see that James Harden? Originally, I thought we'd say, wow, Ben Simmons went off. He actually shot at basketball, and the other team was helpless to stop him, and we won because of him. And that didn't happen. And you make the trade, And then I wanted a couple games this season. We didn't see it in the regular season, so that was probably a tell. Where we come away and say, wow, Harden's offense is the reason the Sixers won. And it was passing, and it was all this other stuff. The problem with passing, not the passing's bad, is you don't get an assist if the guy doesn't make a shot. That's why you got to get yours. And I just am shocked how little he looks to get his in a real way. And that slop driving to the rim and running into a guy and all, that's not real. Yeah. I'm talking about real offensive ball. Stop in the mid-range since you can't get all the way to the rim and make that shot because you can make that shot. And why aren't you getting 20 attempts up every damn night? Stop giving. They kept passing. They were leaving Thibault wide open. They kept passing to him. Why are you passing to him?
Yeah, that's and then one play, Maxie got it to him, and I think somebody said, don't give it to him. And he went, he's open,
right
on that one play.
Yeah, he's open for a reason.
So I don't want to make too much of Thibault, but you have to, folks. I understand he's not a scorer. But, as part of the rotation to eat up minutes, the guy squandered two games to the point where he forgot how to play. They put him in that game last night. It was embarrassing how he played that game. So he's got to take some personal responsibility, too. It's not helpful. All right, let's go to Jen in South Jersey. Jen, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jen?
Hi.
Hi.
First-time caller. Go easy on me.
Thank you, Jen.
So, totally agree with you about the Maxi situation. And I want your all's opinion on this. You know, Maxi came out like a cannon, right? Game one, 38 points. And then you have Nurse come back and say, we have to shut him down, right? Obviously. So then he goes 22 points. Fred VanVleet still in the game. Next game's 19 points. Next game, 11 points. That's when Fred gets hurt, doesn't play as much. And last game is 12 points. Now, you would think with VanVleet out, right, that would give Maxi more of an opportunity. But like Tyrone said, they had like Gary Trent there, and Maxi was totally shut down. It was a mismatch.
Yeah, they're bodying him, and he's turtling.
Absolutely. And that's the worst because we know what he can do. But plus, you've got Harden, who's taking 14 seconds to try to figure out his chess game. Maxie's available at the three. He missed a couple, but it's like you're running out of time as well.
So yeah, I got you. But listen,
what are we going to do about that?
They've got to summon some kind of effort to win in Toronto in game six. It's clear.
It's scary gross.
Yeah, well... They got to somehow attack to where they get on top. They're letting the Raptors just roll them. Raptors are just hungry. They're playing with abandon. They're going, we don't care. We got athletes. We're just coming right at you. And the Sixers, were unprepared for that. It's like befuddling to me that you come into a home game in a closeout game and don't take a stranglehold early of the game.
But here's the thing. What do we know? We know Joe's hurt, right? We know that Joe's not going to be able to do what he usually does under the basket. We had nothing under the basket last night. Like, Joe's
well, that's what I'm saying. He's got to stop feeling sorry for himself with his thumb and just attack. I'm not going to let him off the hook either. I know he's hurt. He's showing us all the time that he's hurt. He's shaking his thumb. He's fiddle-faddling with it. Okay, I get it. You're hurt. It probably needs surgery, but let's go. We need you to be superhuman right now.
Or adjustments need to be made because it's how, unless he really figures it out, then what's going to change? Thanks for taking my call.
All right, Jen. Thank you for calling. That's you're a good
call.
Fan.
Yeah, she really watches the game.
Yeah.
We need more of the fellas to watch the game as close as she does.
Yeah.
Some of these dudes just be calling. They ain't watch nothing. They don't know what they looking at. Yeah, she knew exactly what she was looking at.
They had, their guards had 13 points with 4 minutes left in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
13 points both combined. I mean, you're not going to win games like that. Come on. Your guards got to force the action.
And the crazy part was them driving on Embiid in the third quarter actually worked to the Sixers' favor. They only scored the Raptors 21 points in that quarter. Sixers won the quarter. They only scored a measly 25 points. That's where, all right, if you see what they're doing on that end, make an adjustment, and that was the time to make the run. Mm-hmm. And instead, they only cut the lead from 10-6. 25-21, I believe the score was in that third quarter.
Yeah.
The third quarter was the opportunity. If they're only going to score 21 points, I don't care who they're attacking. 21 points is nothing. You put up a 30 spot there. It's a one-point game going into the fourth, and now the pressure now switches over to them because they're fighting for survival. They kept having a couple possession cushion, and the Sixers weren't making threes, so six felt like 50. If they had, that was the quarter they needed to get on the gas, and that's where Harden needed to come out of the half and own the game, and he doesn't do it. Why is he making $50 million? That was the moment. Like, you have to, he has to recognize what everybody else sees. All right, he's not as sharp. This guy's not doing as well. Well, that's all right. I'm one of the 75 greatest players to ever walk the earth. I'm going to go get mine here. We're going to win the game. That switch never happens.
Mm-hmm. You know, they got it to nine late.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed a basket. They needed, and Danny Green missed two wide open.
Wide open.
Which would have knocked it to six. And now you're in business.
Right.
And then they just didn't get enough stops. They got a few. It stayed at nine for a while. Eventually, you know, they're going to score. And that's going to mess up your entire momentum. You had two open looks. You got to knock one of those down, if not both of them.
Yep.
And Nick, again, go ahead.
No, you're right. It's just, and I don't think any of that's going to change.
It may not, man. I don't know. I'm just... Like, to me, I know what has to happen. They had to have an effort in Toronto that takes them out of this series because I just can't. I can't believe in them in a game seven. Nick in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Nick,
how you doing, Mike?
Hello, Nick.
What's happening, Tyrone? Man, like, before y'all hang up on me because y'all probably disagree with what I'm saying, but I was kind of right, Mike. Man, like, you know, Harden's not a leading guy, bro.
Oh, good for you.
What do you want me to say to that?
They made
the best trade they could have made. Now, what do you want me to say? You want me to go back
he's
in time?
Player.
Okay, all right, but they made the, it's over. They made the trade that was that made them a little better than what they were. And it was the only trade they could have made. What do you want me to do? You want to cancel the trade now?
Nah.
All right, then what are you busting my onions for?
Nah, I just, you know, I feel bad for Philly, man.
Oh, you feel bad for Philly?
I really do.
Oh, that's good.
Too much talent.
Well, you just said Harden has no talent.
No, I didn't say he has no talent.
Oh, well, what are you saying?
I didn't say he has no talent.
What exactly were you saying? I want you to present me with the alternative that you thought was so wonderful here.
Okay, if it was an alternative, I would say, I don't know, you just got to keep all the stars on the floor. I mean, at this point, you got to run them, man. You got to run them.
They did. They're not using the bench hardly at all.
That's even worse. But
come on. You didn't break my onions today. This is not a day. I'm already depressed. I got to hear you cackle. You told me something, James Harden. It's not productive.
Yeah, he's more into being right than caring about the fact that his team could blow a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, but he said y'all, so he wasn't a Sixer fan.
Oh, well, then stay gone. No,
I say y'all. I'm a Sixer fan.
He said you guys. So he dissociated himself with it.
Right, when he said y'all,
you guys. You guys did.
I see what you're
We're
saying.
We're in pain over here, and he's chuckling it up. He should go find his one friend and pay his one friend to talk to him for companionship.
Let's go to Phil in the Northeast. Phil, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Phil.
Yeah, I don't know what dude was talking about, but this goes back to, I guess, something that I thought before the series started, and I was feeling good, but we won't win another game unless Van Vliet plays. And Tyrone touched on it earlier as far as just a bad matchup with those athletes out there. We had two athletes in our starting lineup, one good triple team, the other one 6'2", and get swallowed up by a longer defender. So unless we can hit open shots, or Van Vliet comes back and we, you know, get to the magic we had during the first three games, I don't see it for us.
Well, I don't know if he's going to play game six. They might dust him off for a game seven. He looks hurt. He looks hurt. The LA hip is probably not going to enable him to play game six. So they're going to have to win it without Van Vliet playing for Toronto.
So then that means we have to hit open shots. And I don't know who else. I mean, do we dust off anybody else from the bench that can maybe hit a shot for us?
Yeah. Number 30 made a shot last night.
Ooh.
So number 30 made a shot, which means he's probably going to, you know, get minutes.
Oh, gosh.
Got a new haircut, too.
I turned it off after a little bit, 2 minutes left.
You like clean look.
I like the haircut.
You know, he faded it a little bit.
Man, hope for the best.
All right, man. Yeah, I mean, come on. I do not understand a lack of effort. A sleepwalking, like, I don't know if that's possible with professional athletes that know what's at stake, who are accomplished professional athletes, and that's the way they came out. And, like, that gutted me. I did not expect that at all, that they would come out that way. I thought, okay, they got the one out of their system. Now they're coming home, and they're going to play like they did in the first two games and close this thing out and tiger it up a little bit. And they did just the opposite. They were never in it.
Nope. And that's where you're right about the motivation. But what does Doc say? Does Doc not see that? Like, I don't know, if you walk into a locker room and you see guys aren't fully in, it's their job to be fully in, but don't you have to say something other than, yeah, they got out four? Well, why? What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, that's
do?
What I'm saying. Like, his quote, you know, I'm not trying to take him off the hook at all. I thought they were a tougher team all night or more physical all night. They attacked us. We didn't attack back. Why? You had 48 minutes of game. What do you mean they did this, they did that? How about you do something? Ernie in West Philly, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ernie.
Hey, Mike, how y'all doing?
What's up, Ernie?
Man, listen, I'm a season ticket holder for the Sixers. I was one for the Eagles. This is typical Philadelphia. They build you up, and then they tear you down. And that's what's happening. I mean, this is simple. I got friends who are Laker fans, Boston fans. All they do is heckle me. And you try not to get, I know I try not to get too involved in it, but you can't help yourself. And then the Sixers come out and play like this. No VanVleet.
Yeah, the only problem is this.
Barnes only playing on one leg.
The only problem is the series isn't over yet, bro. It's not over. And I know you want to think it is after what you saw last night, but it really isn't over. So you got to save that conclusion.
Right. Even if they do win, they got to go to Miami.
Yeah, you worry about that later, and they're probably not as good as Miami. But that's more of a reality. They're better than the Raptors. They should win this series. They were up 3-0. This is what we know. We don't know about the Miami thing yet.
I looked at their face. They had a shot of them when they was on the bench.
They did. You're right.
They looked like they was in another world.
That, you're absolutely right. That doesn't mean they can't play a great game in Game 6. Now, if they don't, guess what? Your call will recycle it. Right? Because then we'll have a conclusion and we'll know exactly what this team was. But yeah. But they could win Game 6.
I'm hoping they do, Mike, because I really don't want to go to a Game 7 and be disappointed.
No, I hear you. It's the worst possible scenario, you use another Game 7 at home. First round, by the way, Game 7 against this team. Oh, my God. Boy, they don't have an Achiuwa on this team. It would be nice to have an Achiuwa.
Mm-hmm.
Plays hard. Boucher, too. Like, he's not a great player. He plays hard.
Yeah, well, the difference is, though, I think B-Ball Paul would have some of that if Doc had spent the time developing.
Yeah, but you see him last night.
Well, he hasn't taken the time to develop him. That's what I'm saying. He's dribbling off his foot. He's running around.
Yeah, you can't even play him now.
Right. That's true. That's why Embiid had to play 40 minutes. And I think that played a role in the bad defensive part. Is I think he was getting tired. But him tired is still better than that guy running around because he's not knowing what he's doing.
Exactly. He doesn't know what the hell's up.
No. But I blame Doc for over 82 games, over two seasons, not developing him.
I agree with that.
That's what I mean. He should know what to do by now through coaching over two seasons, but Doc's probably trying to wait till next year to actually figure it out. He ain't going to be here next year if things continue the way they have the last couple games.
Look who they had to play off the bench last night to try to eat up some minutes. They wasted 14 minutes of my time with Thibault, but they had to get some minutes out of Thibault. Wasted my time completely.
Mm-hmm.
Niang is just like a dead man. I mean, my God. They can only play him 13 minutes because it's such a terrible matchup for him to be against this Raptor team. So he mixed in a three. Yeah, thanks, George. And then Shake 10 minutes and nothing. and Paul Reed running around like a chicken without a head.
And they're bringing it Chua off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And Boucher. And even Thaddeus Young, like a veteran, doesn't make any mistakes at all.
Right. And that's, and that part could get fixed, the fringe part. I think Morey had to keep the powder dry to make the Simmons trade once Simmons quit.
Mm-hmm.
So that doesn't do us anything. I do think he will have a better bench in 2022, 2023.
Not better.
I think he will. But who gives a damn if you lose this series? Like, the thing is, this would be so bad that I know you won't fire the president, the GM, the coach, you know. But tell that to these fans if that was to happen on Saturday night.
Yeah.
Tell that to the people. Everybody doesn't have to go. If they were to lose Saturday night, they won't be saying that Morey should be safe. They won't be saying Doc should be back or Elton Brand or no. They won't be saying any of that.
Thoughtball airball, three and a layup.
I've never seen a three and a layup.
Professional basketball player.
Yep.
It's terrible.
I went to my little cousin's, 7-year-old cousin's game, and the tough part about that league is, at that age, they don't lower the rim. Only like three players on the team can actually get the ball up to the rim.
Yeah.
All three of them better than Thaible on offense, and they're seven.
Because
they don't airball layups. They use all their power, and it ends up hitting the rim. And that's all we're asking him to do, being that, you know, he's an NBA player, is hit the damn rim.
Yeah.
And he's missing rims consistently on all kinds of shots. And we are we allowed to notice that part?
Yeah, and bang, bang, George Niang, my ass. All right?
This is a bad matchup for him.
Jesus, I think it's ridiculous watching that guy try to play against this team.
Yeah, against this team, they're too quick. I think against Miami, he would end up having a couple moments because they're not as athletic. Against this team, you're right. It looks rough.
610-632-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
The Fanatic.
All right, 610-632-0975 is how you get in. The lines are going to be busy all day, so have patience with us. And as soon as somebody gets off, hit that final button and ring in. Let's go right back to the phones with Bill in Lambertville. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
Hello, Bill.
Well, I think we're all in the same boat. We're all depressed. We're all anxious, too. And, you know, they had plenty of opportunities to get a little bit closer, if not anything, in the game. But I will say this. I noticed there didn't seem like a sense of urgency, and there wasn't much pushing of the ball to get to the hoop. I don't know how many foul shots they had, but I know they're under their average for the game. They had to be.
They were 16 of 20 last night.
I mean, Harden alone gets 12.
That was more than the Raptors got, by the way.
That's right.
Yeah, Raptors didn't go to the line. They just beat them down the floor. They made shots, uncontested shots, most of the time. The defense was really unenergetic.
Yes, really lackadaisical. It's like one person doesn't do well, it seems like it just has an effect that all of them don't do well. It just seems like it's like a disease that just kind of...
I'm trying to understand it. Now, if I watch that game and Toronto just went toe-to-toe with them and they win by a deuce, you know, those kind of things happen. The Sixers, in a closeout game at home, after having a 3-0 lead where they gave a game away, game four, gave another one away. That is what I do not understand. That shows me... a lack of conviction.
Yes. Like they thought they had it in the bag. They rested on their laurels a little bit.
That happens normally in one game. But now, like, everything is in your favor. You're an 8-point favorite at home. Everything is in your favor. To come out with no energy and let them take control of the game from the start, you're shooting freaking fireworks off, you're ringing the bell, people are gacked. It's impossible.
It's just awful. It's just awful.
All right, man.
0-143, make it 0-144, and that could happen.
I don't even know what that means. What did he say? 0-144.
Oh, because that's what it's been. It's 143-0. Went up.
Okay. Who rang the bell last night? Somebody rang the notable?
No, it was a wrestler.
Oh, it was a wrestler?
Like an Olympic wrestler from local, Jordan Burroughs.
Oh, Penn State dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, gold medalist and what? Greco-Roman.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, he rang the bell.
All right.
It wasn't that. I mean.
Yeah.
Because too famous is bad for this team.
Right, yeah, usually the less famous, the better.
Yeah, and he not as famous as Dawn Staley was. They won the Dawn. They got to get Dawn Staley.
They do.
It's like, all right, let's squeeze this team out here now. We're home, we're comfortable. It was just the opposite. I still can't really process it.
And,
can you imagine sitting in that arena last night? I'd be furious.
I was in the arena last night.
You were.
I was furious.
Sorry, Tyrone.
No, I'm furious. Like, I'm mad on a personal level. I got no interest. I'll be honest. The boss is going to be mad. I had no interest in doing Sixers Outsiders Thursday. I want to watch the draft. I want the series to be over. I want to watch the draft. I didn't want to do Sixers Outsiders on Thursday. No part of me wants to go watch them lose game 6 and then have to do it game 7. I already had to do the quadruple doink. It's a miracle I haven't cursed and gotten fired on the air as it is coming on right after the game when I'm on 1,000. I had no interest in doing that work. And now I have to because of them. And now all of us can't fully enjoy the draft. You know the Sixers are going to make trades. I mean, the Eagles are going to make trades and deals. They're going to find out. And then meanwhile, we're halfway watching the Sixers season implode.
James Harden. I'm so tired now of the okay, well, he's still trying to figure it out. Yeah, enough of the still trying to figure it out. Now, James Harden has to look himself in the mirror and go, okay, I can't do certain things right now for whatever reason it is, whether I'm over the hill or whether it's my leg, whatever it is. But here's what I can do. I can make medium range jump shots. I can make catch and shoot threes, which he still refuses to do. How about if you look yourself in the mirror and do the things that you can do right now? Okay, you can't blow by these guys. Don't. Try stop pop.
Where did all that basketball IQ go? Remember when he first came to Philadelphia? That's what we all said. That basketball IQ, when he is on the court, he's so smart, and we have not seen that. Definitely didn't see it last night.
No, he has a high IQ if it comes to creating for somebody else.
Yeah.
Where his IQ has dropped is he hasn't figured out how to get his when he's limited. You, old man game. Extends like when Jordan stopped being Air Jordan, that turnaround jump shot was something he developed when he realized he couldn't athletically beat you all the time. Kobe, LeBron, these guys still got a lot. Like LeBron averaged 30 still because he adjusted. He became a better 3-point shooter. He adjusted other ways to still get his. What he hasn't been smart about is how to get his damn points.
Well, and that's the point. You're talking about his IQ because he has to understand. Who's he going to get it to?
Right.
Like you know, the Raptors have a bunch of athletic guys, all right? If you had Gary Trent on the floor, you had Scotty Barnes, you had an Obi, you had Chua coming off the bench. Like, you can get guys in open spots. Those guys are flying down the floor, right? You're going to be able who are you making better here? You got to look around you, son. There's not a lot of snipers or athletic guys that are going to get to the hole. So that means you got to do it. And if you can't do certain things, do other things.
Right.
And that's, again, early in the game, you want to get guys involved and see if they're hot. I get it. You're the point guard. Everybody touches it. But like I said, in that third quarter, when the Raptors only scored 21 measly points,
mm-hmm.
you know everybody's cold.
Exactly.
Everybody's cold. Now it's on you to go out there and get mm-hmm. 15 points in the quarter. They only scored 21.
Uh-huh.
So if you get anything else from anybody else, you cut way into that lead. They scored 21 points.
Exactly. Now, all right, you get it to Danny Green. Made a couple last night. Missed a couple.
wide open blank shot. Okay, you get it to Danny, you get it to Tobias Harris. You're going to get it to him, you know, a little bit, marginally. Maxie's in Nowheresville right now. Bang, bang, the Yang. You're going to get it to him?
Right. Go get yours. And if it has to be in the mid-range, shoot from the mid-range because you can't get to the rim.
Let's take a break. 3 o'clock hour. We're going to roll. And don't forget, Jay Wright at 4 o'clock. We need Jay. We need Jay now for motivation. Jay needs to call T.O. And we'll talk to him at 4. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, so 3 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, and it's 97.5, The Fanatic, and NBC Sports Philly. 3 o'clock hour, it's brought to you by Corvallis Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, hoagie party trays, every bit as good. Yeah, this is a lament day. It really is. There's no way around it. Everybody's feeling equally crappy, and we've had many hours to review this whole thing, and now, like, I never thought that we would actually discuss the possibility they could possibly lose this series. I didn't even remotely enter my mind, and I was so confident to wrap that up last night, and I couldn't believe what I saw. Like, my enthusiasm, Ty's enthusiasm, Jen's enthusiasm, y'all's enthusiasm, not matched at all by the effort. And the crowd, even in the fourth quarter, rose to try to pick the team up. What's going to happen last night? And it's very puzzling. And you got to look inside some people and go, how in the world could you not be ready for that game? We'll talk about it. Let's go. Bum in Levittown. Bum, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bum.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
What's up, man?
Not much, man. I got just a few things to get off my chest.
Go ahead.
First thing, James Harden. I still think he's a good player. He's got to get more than these two moves. He got to step back in the fullback. He either step back three-pointer or he's rushing through the hole like he's Tom Rathman. One or the other. So
yeah, he's carrying the ball like a football when he does that. And they're on what?
And I don't get it. I'm like you. Why doesn't he just stop in the mid-range and pull up? But, you know, maybe that's me. But
No. Listen, if you can't get to the basket, then adapt. There are a lot of things you can do because they're backpedaling. You know, you're driving, they're backpedaling. Stop. Jump, stop. Whatever you need to do to get a medium-range jump shot off. You're good at it.
You're in control.
Yes.
Exactly. Uh-huh. But the other thing is Doc Rivers, man, like, I was excited when we got Doc Rivers because I thought he was going to be, the thing that I thought he was going to do more than Brett Brown was bring a fire and a motivation and be able to bring something out in the team. I turned the game off at 5 minutes into the third quarter because they came out looking just like they did.
No, I get it. I look at NBA coaches and I go, these are pro players. What are they going to give them, a rah-rah speech? You know, sometimes they can do that. Pro players got to take it with them. You know, they're getting paid. Right. They're getting paid to perform. The moment is upon them. I just do not understand how they don't embrace that. Like, you need somebody else to tell you to embrace it?
You're right about that. I give you that. You know, but that blowing them 3-1 lead, you know, I don't know what he's doing where he's not able to get these guys prepared for these closeout games.
Well, but here's the other thing. How many assistant coaches do you have? He's got a freaking offensive coordinator and a defense coordinator. Are they not adjusting to what they're seeing? They're supposed to coordinate the offense, coordinate the defense. What are they doing? Yeah, all the money they spend on assistants, they go to Gotts out of it.
Well, and look, I'm gonna leave it at that. Look, I'm gonna try to put a smile on your face before I leave. Mm-hmm. I got a question for you, Mike.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is Sebastian the Spatula DeLuca? Is he in the Hall of Fame? He played
Defensive tackle. Yeah, you're referring to a call last week where we had the. I don't know if that was a real guy. He was playing off the call we had last week.
Was that Friday?
Yeah.
Because Tyrone was like, I don't remember.
Oh, yeah, you were there Friday. A guy called and said, how come so-and-so from the Eagles isn't in a Hall of Fame?
Who was it? Bill Iron Man something?
It was somebody. And I thought he was playing, you know, he was just trolling us. But it turns out that, you know, some local guy had like 17 sacks in a game for the Eagles. And was one of their all-time defensive ends. I've never heard of him. So I think that was just a play on that.
And put a smile on my face.
Yeah. All right, Jim and Yardley. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Hey there, Mike.
Hello, Jim.
I'm Jen. How you guys doing?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. Yeah, it's Jimmy from Avalon, by the way.
What's up, man?
And, if you could, one of you could explain this to me, because I'm really struggling with it. Embiid is the tallest guy on the court, and he needs to get down to the block, and I understand, you know, they're three-manning him.
Last night, I would agree with you that they didn't do that enough.
It was infuriating.
Yeah, last night, and that's why, like, part of it, I think he's trying to protect himself.
And it was just the whole thumb thing, I guess.
Yeah, and I get it. He's got a torn thumb ligament. But listen, man, you can't be protecting yourself at this point. It is what it is. You decide you're going to play. You're going to gut through it. Well, then I need you to gut through it. You can't feel sorry for yourself because you got a torn ligament in your thumb.
I mean, that's what I did back in the day, 7th and 8th grade basketball, CYO, Region 19, get down on the block, post up.
Yeah, that's a little different. Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
A little different.
Can we not do CYO today?
8th grade CYO, a little different than the pro players that are athletic and they're clawing at you and they're gonna double team or triple team you where you least expect it. It's very difficult. It's not that easy.
Right. He needs to do it, as you said. He's going to have to play through it. I already said he has to be spectacular. If he's not spectacular, they will lose. They will blow this 3-0.
You're right. He's got to have a 40-piece.
Yes, he's going to throw up a 40-piece in one of these last two, or they will lose.
I agree.
Lay that all out there. Mm-hmm. At the same time, that's not easy to do. It's very easy to be brave with somebody else's body.
Yeah.
When you don't have to feel the pain, you're not getting slapped, you're not in there. You also don't see all the times where somebody fights to get down there and then doesn't get the ball.
It's not easy. There's no question in my mind. Like a boxer sees a cut, like that, the defense is doing that to him.
Right.
Making it as uncomfortable for him as they can.
Right. He still has to do it. I'm making it very clear. He has to do it. But it's very cavalier for other people to call it and go, well, what he needs to do is what I did when I was in 8th grade, when then mom would give me a juice box. Like, shut up about that. This is hard to do. What you're asking isn't easy to do.
Actually, use a reference. He was in 8th grade. That's what he did in 8th grade CYO.
Yeah, like, are you kidding me?
Come on, my man.
That's what I mean. Like, we know what he has to do, but the NBA is hard. These guys are physical. Like, when we're talking about a team going small, that means they got a bunch of 6'9 guys slapping at you. They're not small. 5'5". Like, these are 6'9 guys slapping and clawing and climbing and pushing. It's not like we're acting like it's like, oh, little Joey from down the street, you did a great job against him, Frank. Like, no, that's not what goes on in the NBA.
Yes, Frank was 5'8", the rest of them were 5'2".
Right.
Yeah, so that's fair, yeah.
You were killing little Billy.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not how the NBA works.
Let's go to Rome in South Philly. What's up, Rome? Yo, Rome, what's up?
Mike.
How you doing?
Mike, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you. Go ahead.
Hey. Thanks so much for taking my call. You haven't always loved my takes on the birds, but we see eye to eye for the Sixers, and for that reason I have, will always ring a loyal subject to the one true prince of Philly sports radio.
What? I'm more curious than what we don't see eye to eye with the birds, but go ahead.
No. So I got 2 points I want to make with the Sixers. First is it that hard to imagine Josh Harris watching James Harden last night and thinking to himself, I want to give that man $200+ million of my own money after having already handed out max deals to, I mean, who is it, Mike? Tobias, Al Horford, and Ben Simmons. I mean, that's what? Like close to $600 million?
Yeah, but they got
rid of
two of them, so.
But still, I mean, he made the decision to give him, you know, to give those guys almost $600 million.
Yeah, I don't think Josh makes basketball judgments. I think Josh is in kind of la-la land and takes the advice of his basketball people.
no matter, right?
I just want to be out of this building.
Yeah. So, and the bottom line is he can, listen, here's what I think is going to happen with Harden. I think that they're going to try really hard, and he might be agreeable to it from what I understand, to not a max contract, like a little lesser valued contract.
Mike, but if he maxes him, that's got to solidify Harris's legacy as one of the most inept owners in all of sports history, right? Because giving away over, you know, I guess that's...
Only what's the alternative? What do you think? Is there some kind of alternative that would make him better?
I think that having the heart and you know, the acceptance that Harden hasn't worked out to let him walk...
Well, maybe he works out next year and maybe he's hurt. I don't think you can make a snap judgment on this because you don't really have an alternative.
You don't have
an alternative. You're going to have cap problems whether you sign him or not. You can sign this guy above the cap because he's your player. You're not going to free up money to sign a free agent unless you make other moves to get rid of contracts like Tobias's.
I think MB's window closes if you re-sign Harden to a
contract. All right, but I'm asking you, what's the alternative?
I think the alternative is you let him walk, and then you try and get rid of Tobias, and you try and get pieces around Embiid that actually fit.
You think that's easy? You think that's going to be easy?
You can instantly
rebuild your team that way?
It's easy, but you know, re-signing Harden.
I get it. I get your frustration. First of all, you shouldn't care about Josh Harris's money. I don't care about Josh Harris' money. He's got a lot of money. He can spend above the salary cap, okay, for his own player. So it's the judgment that they're going to have to make. And I don't think they're going to make a judgment where they let him walk. I just don't think that's happening. Let's go to Sly in West Philly. What's up, Sly? How you doing?
Mike, what's up?
What's going on, Sly?
Mike, you guys hit on a few things that I was going to talk about. One, James Harden, it's almost unbelievable that a guy that has led the league in scoring as many times as he has and has scored as much as he has doesn't have a mid-range game. And then the thing that drives me the most crazy is when he passes open, wide open.
Medium range shots.
No, he doesn't have a mid-range game.
Yeah, he passes them up. He passes those shots up.
Passes out wide open threes. When they kick it to him, he got to dribble the ball. It's like
he does.
How you dribbling the ball was a couple times. It's like when they swinging the ball, your dribble gives the defense time to get on you. Like,
and this is what I'm tired of hearing about. Well, he doesn't use the catch and shoot. What is it that hard to catch and shoot? I mean, my God.
Not used to it. He's been playing all night.
That's what I mean. Listen, I get it that he hasn't done it. Does that mean he can't do it?
Right. Does that mean every single time he dribbled, every single time he ever shot a three, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
He can't do that.
You see guys that get behind the three-point line, get in ready shoot position. Exactly. They anticipate where the pass is going to come. Their body is already in sync to rise up. Right. And he can't figure that out for some reason.
And not only that, Mike, you can't ask Tobias Harris to do something you can't do. You know what I mean? You swing it around to him, you want him to catch and shoot, you got to do the same thing.
I agree.
You know what I mean? And then when I look at this game, a lot of people are surprised. But if you look at it in the last three, the last three games, the Sixers have barely led. The game they won, they didn't lead at all. Yesterday, they never took the lead. And game four, maybe they led a little, but they haven't really led. They haven't come out with any kind of fire, and Doc hasn't tried to switch up anything. To me, pick up full court, run after made baskets.
They actually went zone last night,
right.
Changed the tempo of it. You know, that's
No, you can't.
He doesn't really twist at all.
No,
he doesn't make them think.
And not only that, if you got somebody like, say, you know, Maxey is out of his element right now, pick up full court and then on made baskets. Push the ball. Do something different. You know what I mean? You got to put pressure on them because obviously you don't have the athletes, so you got to do something.
But see, to put pressure on them, when you don't have the athletes is tough, which is the limitations of what they are. But like their half court offense was good enough in the first couple of games that they shouldn't be having these kind of problems. They're talking themselves out of being efficient. It's weird. Like they're just not like they don't know what they're doing a lot of the times. Let's go to Jerome. Jerome, what's up?
What?
What's going on, Jerome?
Hey, how you doing?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Where are you calling from, Jerome?
Chester, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Chester. Okay. Yeah, just say, turn your radio off because I'm hearing it in the background.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, turn that off.
It's off.
All right, there you go. All right, go ahead now.
Yeah, the thing I was going to say was three things that I noticed last night. Reporter asked Harden, did he think the 11 shots that he took, were they sufficient? And I thought that was rather strange. And he said, yeah, he thought that was definitely sufficient. I mean, he's the second leading scorer on the team. 11 shots should not definitely be sufficient.
No, it's not.
Another thing is I noticed when Doc asked for a timeout, Embiid was so frustrated, he wasn't even listening to Doc in the huddle. He turned his head looking in another direction. So there seems to be some frustration.
Yeah, well, Embiid has low tolerance for guys that aren't given what he thinks they should be given. Now, I didn't think he was spectacular last night, but I can see where you're looking around because we were looking at the same thing. What's Harden doing? What's Maxie doing? He's right. You could see it that they weren't engaged.
Absolutely, and there's definitely a level. Another thing I was wondering: well, who's in jail? Is Doc in charge of the players? Because it's Doc's job to tell Harden to shoot that ball.
Yeah, well, he does. It's so not like he doesn't tell him to shoot the ball.
So is this Harden just doesn't want to shoot
it? It's like pro players, there's like, I don't know, when they're on the floor, they don't feel a certain way or they feel a certain way. First of all, he has to coach his way through a game. I get it. Right. And you got to run sets where you're going to get good shots off. So I'm not trying to absolve him. But I'm just looking at like a pro player, once you get on that court, you know, the coach can help you out, but it's about you delivering. You're a professional.
Absolutely.
And you can't let a team come in and punk you when you got all the advantages in your favor. They don't. You do.
And, you know, one thing in closing. Why does he hold the ball so long?
Who? Which one?
Harden, dribbling the ball.
Well, I mean, that's what he's done all his life, so I don't know. That's what he does.
Yeah, but he could mix in
a
couple less dribbles
and
maybe shooting the ball more than 11 times.
He can move without the ball, you know, but
he doesn't do much of that.
Doesn't do much of that because he's averse to going to the basket that way. Like, he can only go to the basket when he's got it in his hands.
Right, he can't cut and can't get something.
Right, like an Iverson cut or something.
Right. Eric Snow hits him with a little bounce pass, get an easy
like,
look.
Yeah, he's not that type of player, and that's a shame. But, you know, listen, I don't have any thoughts nor care about what they're going to do with him in the future.
I agree.
Like, people are obsessed with, well, you're going to sign him in a line. They got to win this series. This is what I'm looking at. They'll decide what they're going to do, and it's not none of us are going to have any influence on it, right? Based on what they see. It should be the least of your worries whether James Harden's going to be signed to a max.
Right. And I will say, these NBA playoffs, while becoming frustrating for the Sixers, have been very unpredictable so far. Even the series like the sweep. Nobody in the country picked the Celtics to sweep. Nobody had the Grizz and the Wolves 2-2. Nobody had the Suns and the Pelicans 2-2. No one had this roller coaster with the Sixers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these have been unpredictable playoffs. If they find a way to win the series, they're absolutely underdogs against Miami, and they're absolutely not as good. But between the hamstrings that have been popping and the knees and the thumbs and everything else, get to that next round. What if Jimmy Butler comes up with an ankle injury or something? Like, just get there, and then you worry about later.
Yeah.
I can't worry about the offseason now.
Yeah, you're obsessed. Well, you be crazy. They'll decide what they're going to do. There's none of your concern, right? This is your concern right now.
Win
the way he's
night.
Playing, right?
Yeah,
right. Like right now, if he goes off finally for 35 and he went on Thursday, Then when are we going to change our tune game to game? Well, see, he still has that in him. So you can say, no, just wait for it to play out.
Here's the soft landing spot. I don't think they're going to jettison James Harden. They made a great effort to get him. I think he's going to be here in whatever form it is. If they decide to give him that contract, that max contract, it's something you're going to have to live with. And maybe next year he's James Harden again. Maybe he's not, and you'll say, what a waste. But that will happen when it happens.
Right. And then hopefully, well, Maxey, I do believe, will be better next year than he is now. And he already is good. He'll be more mature, growing more as a player.
Yes.
Embiid's still Embiid. And then hopefully the bench has a pulse.
Right.
But either via coaching up players or by acquiring better players. Because the first that shot by Thibodeau got tipped in, my boy Roy just pointed this out. For the first three quarters of the game last night, that was the only basket the bench scored for three quarters. Oof. Was one that was tipped in by the other team.
Yeah.
Like, it's about the starters. But other teams can go to their bench and get more than a tip-in shot from the other team in three quarters of action. If they get 6 points from the bench going in.
They got 8 points.
And that includes garbage time.
Well, no, I'm not counting garbage time. Yeah, I didn't count Quirk Maz's three. They got basically eight.
8 points.
Yes.
Now, again, it's about the starters, as you said, but it would be nice if they could get 15 points.
They got a bucket from Reed. Was that the one that was pushed in?
No, Thibodeau's was one for 6.
Thibodeau was 1 for 6. That was the one.
That was the one.
Achua knocked it in
for him. He was 0 for 5.
Bang Bang got a big 3 in the game. The money man! Come on, man. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3:30, and it's time to update our Twitter poll on this dreary day, attitudinal-wise. Twitter poll brought to us by Paulby Moore and Sons in Doylestown. Jen Scordo has the numbers. First update, Jen, what does it say?
We now have two Twitter polls for your enjoyment today. First one, we know Embiid has to find a way to be better in Game 6 or 7 to save the series. Will any other Sixers step up? Right now, 12% say Harden, 14% say Tobias, 32% says nobody is going to step up, and 42% say Maxey will. And Twitter poll number two, if the Sixers blow a 3-0 lead, can Harden, Morey, or Rivers return next year? You can answer Morey can return, Harden can return, Doc can, or all must go. Right now, Morey can return is winning at 56%.
It's interesting how they have faith that Tyrese Maxey.
But none in Harden.
Hasn't grown armpit hair yet. Is going to be the guy that, seriously, he's the guy that's going to lead them to win this series. All right, listen, he's going to help. He's going to help. I get it. But,
well, I just don't know if he can be better.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know if he can be. And then
he could probably shoot threes a little better.
Yeah, he's been missing, and he passed up some, which is not what that comes from missing, though. But the fact that Harden's in last place.
Discouraging, yeah.
He's the one that you should be able to rely on the most.
They've written him off. Basically, what's that say? The fan base has written him off.
And I know that kind of stuff won't bother him. It's just, I wish it would.
Yeah, I agree. I wish it would. He's unfettered by that kind of stuff. Now, he may be saying, well, y'all don't know that I'm really hurt. Next year, you'll see a different Harden. So you'll have to live with this Harden.
Just to show you how good NBA players are, when he was warming up before the game, I go down there because it's an 8 o'clock game, which I also hate, but that's neither here nor there.
Well, that could be late there.
Yeah, I was in there late. So hate it. So I go down, of course, he never misses. These guys are so good. Like, to be honest, very few of any of the guys miss. But he never misses before the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like warm up and never it does. You don't know. Well,
Ben never used to miss either.
That's true.
That shows you how easy it is to just shoot. Like, those guys are trained to make shots that nobody in the gym is there.
Right.
You know?
I tried when I was coaching kids, I tried to say, like, you have to understand how good you have to get. Like, as far as the work they would have to put in. Because everybody wants to go to the NBA. I was like, you know how, like, we just shoot around before practice, or we'll just do drills? I was like, you know those guys there never miss? They're like, what do you mean? I was like, they make 90% or more of their shots in an empty gym. Like, you guys, first step first, you guys got to think about getting to that level and then figure out what you can do against defense. Like, you don't have how good these guys are.
Exactly. Listen, great NBA shooters even. Like, when there's a hand in the vicinity, it changes your whole mindset about the shot.
Mm-hmm. Certainly.
Even Curry. Curry shoots 100%. He doesn't shoot 100% in a game.
Yeah.
Like, he never misses. Like, he does those drills where he has to make 50 in a row or he won't go home. And he'll do it on the first try, make 50 shots from all over in a row. It's just like how great these guys really are. Even the bad guys are incredible.
Yeah,
Willie Cauley-Stein made 15 in a row at the Sixers.
Yeah,
that's
what I mean. Those guys that you will never make a shot in a game are going to make, you know, because that's what they do. They shoot alone.
Yeah.
All right, so here's some stats that'll really lift your spirits.
Can't wait.
James Harden, twice in this series, has had more turnovers than field goals.
Uh-oh.
Shoot.
He's shooting 36. These are ESPN stats, which I assume are Hembo stats.
Yeah.
36.8 on two-pointers. Second worst of anybody in the playoffs. 0-10 on floaters.
What the hell?
What?
Yeah, he's 0-10 on floaters. The Sixers also are the 164th team to go up 3-0 in a playoff series. We know that because we know what the record is.
Mm-hmm.
This is just the first time in 7 years that there will be a game six for teams that are up 3-0. It's the 14th time out of 146 that there will be game six. First time in 7 years in 33 series there will be game six. And only three of those series ever went to a game seven. So they got to win game six. They just do. They have to. I cannot see this team clutching up enough with what they are to win a game seven when the other team almost has the mental edge if they take the Sixers to game seven here. In the Sixers building, the Raptors would have a mental edge because they would go, oh, got him now, yo. We got him now. Let's just go out and have fun.
And at that point, it's just Doc versus Nurse as far as X's and O's. And we don't want to get into where that becomes the whole thing. You still have one game of cushion. But Harden might have to mix in making a couple shots.
Yeah.
I mean, that Doc can't do anything about that part of it. But I think he shoots so poorly from two because every shot he takes inside is difficult. He won't take the easy shot from two.
When he's throwing that slop, when they do body him up and he can't get free to get to the basket and he throws up slop and hope to get fouled, he turns his head away from it all the time. Like, he doesn't keep his head on the ball to deliver it to the basket. Like, he's so programmed he's going to get fouled that he quits wherever the ball's going, it goes.
Yeah.
Instead of directing it towards a make.
Yeah, his trainer has spoken on Instagram, and his trainer says that due to a surgery, and he did have surgery to repair his hamstring, he did not have his full offseason and couldn't put in the work that he wanted
to put
in, and that might be affecting some of his
I don't think there's any question.
Issues.
Which leads you to next year on whether it be a different Harden. There are two scenarios that we've talked about. Either he's the running back who hit the wall, or he's hurt and he'll come back as a better product. Now, he's younger than Kevin Durant.
Yep.
All right. Let's go. Grandmama. Well, Larry Johnson checking in. What's up, LJ? Hey.
No, this is Grandmama. I usually call up my grandkids call me Grandmama.
Oh, all right, Grandmama.
Yeah, and they shortened it up to G Mama. So Anthony, you know, I always calls me G Mama.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So, hey guys, how are you all? I hope you're doing well today, other than being really...
No, this is really Grandmama, this is a lousy day. We're just trying to process it.
Yeah, but a few things. Like, number one, I don't think people realize what a big contact sport basketball is.
I don't think most people realize that. And so if you're injured, yeah, you can play through and you should try your best to do that. But it's a contact sport. You don't see a lot of the contact that goes on in basketball like you do in football. And these guys are constantly getting, you know, bumping into each other in all kinds of places on their bodies.
So, I get it, Grandmama. Here's the thing. Everybody's hurt. In the NBA, at this point of the season, everybody is hurt, and they push through, and that's why they're professionals.
They should push through. Last night, I thought that if I didn't know better, and maybe I don't know better, I thought they were trying to give the game, you know, give it away, and take a kneel on the whole series. I just couldn't believe what I was watching.
You and I are on the same page. I could not believe what I was watching. The lack of fight in a closeout game at home.
Yeah, and if you're a great basketball player, then by now Harden should be able to gel with everybody else.
I agree.
I'm not buying the whole thing of, you know, you gotta get used to everybody. They just weren't there, and it looked like they were throwing the game, like they were purposefully not. And Joel looked pissed off.
Yeah, he did, but I also thought he was off last night too.
Yeah, he was, but I think he was off because he was pissed off.
Yeah,
about something.
Well, you can't be.
And maybe he wasn't. Yeah, and
you can't be worrying about other people's game. You got to deliver for them and show them the way.
They should have taken it in the fourth game, and it's pathetic that they haven't. And you know, I hope they can come back.
Yeah, game six, Grandmama. It's got to be game six.
Yeah, it has to be.
They got to pull off a special effort in Game 6 and win that game in Toronto. It's going to be very hard because, God forbid, that crowd and Drake and all the nonsense. And I get it, but, you know, this is it. This is your moment of destiny, Sixers. Let's go, Terrence. He's calling from Hop. What's up, Terrence?
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm all right. What I want to talk about is, first of all, the Sixers made a mistake by taking Markelle Fultz instead of Jason Tatum.
Yeah, let's go over that once and for all. They weren't going to get Tatum.
Oh, no?
No, Boston was going to take him. They just made it like they weren't going to take him, and they were able to get
Well, yeah. My so bad.
They did not choose Fultz over Tatum. They wanted Fultz all along, and Boston wanted Tatum all along.
Oh, okay. My bad. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All right, and then the second point I want to make is I was fortunate enough to watch the Broad Street Bullies play. I was fortunate enough to see, you know, the old Eagles team,
mm-hmm.
The Fighting Phils, you know, the Crucksters, and, you know,
right.
All the rough and tough Philadelphia teams. You know, the people didn't want to come to Philadelphia. They didn't want to go down South Philly and play in the Spectrum or the Vet. They didn't want to come down there.
Mm-hmm.
They hated it. But I don't see that in any of these Philadelphia teams now. I don't see any of that fight. I don't see any of that, like, you know, we're rough, we're tough, we're going to dig it out, we're going to grind it out. I just had an operation the other day on my toe, and then last night I'm thinking I'm going to be happy. I'm going to sit here and watch the Sixers game, lean a little ice cream here in my hospital bed. I'm going to, you know, recover. I'm going to be happy. The Sixers are going to move on. You know, the city's going to be happy. Everything's going to be good, you know. Where's Allen Iverson at? Can we get him back?
Well, actually, I have an announcement. We will have Allen Iverson on the show tomorrow.
No, I'm talking about we need him in.
We will have so he will be on the show tomorrow. So that's the since no, you brought his name up.
Yeah, because I'm just saying though, I seen that kid. I seen Iverson play hurt. Every bone in his body was hurt.
Yeah, well, we'll talk to him about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and then like the other thing is, I understand Embiid. His finger hurts and all. He's a dominant player. I like Maxey. I don't think James Harden was the answer, that's all. That's just my opinion.
Well, he may not be, but at the time, that was what they could do.
Right. Okay.
All right. Hey, listen, yeah. You heal up, brother.
Yeah, thank you. I'll actually give a shout-out to all the nurses here that are taking care of me.
Good job, man. Look at that. From a hospital bed calling the show. It's integrity.
Yeah.
Laying in bed watching this probably on TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Here's the funny thing, before we go to break, you know how you get emails with like crazy people?
Yeah.
I have this guy, an idiot named, and the reason I'm calling him idiot is because I told him to stop and he keeps emailing me, so hopefully this will get him to stop. His name is Ethan Charles. He's very smart.
Oh, he emails me too.
Yeah, he's very
smart. I've actually blocked him.
Yeah, I'm going to put him in spam now. He's very stupid.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
He's very upset that I said that Dawn Staley in Philadelphia was more famous than Jordan Burroughs. And apparently that's the thing that emailed me 17 times about.
Yeah, my man's got some issues.
Now here's the deal. I say he was an Olympic gold medalist, this Jordan. Like, obviously, you have to be pretty tough. Like, I'm sure he could beat me in wrestling and fighting. I mean, he's a gold medalist.
Right.
In that stadium, in game two, when Dawn Staley came out, everyone in the stands knew who Dawn Staley was. Mm-hmm. And when Jordan Burrow went to ring to hit the bell, not everyone in that stadium did. That's not a criticism. That's just the reality. In life, sometimes some people are more famous than others. Like, Will Smith is way more famous than me. So if I rang the bell, half the people wouldn't care or hate it. If Will did it, they'd hope he slapped it, but they would all know who he was.
Yeah.
I didn't think that was controversial, but this idiot has emailed me 77 times because he's an idiot. Yeah, idiot Ethan. Idiot Ethan. I know that's what they call you at your house.
Yeah, his last beef with me was that I didn't like Rudy. And he couldn't process that. So he went on for like 5 emails. And finally I went, all right, I had enough.
Just enough. Like, I think Dawn Staley's more famous with basketball fans than a wrestler from the Olympics. Now, maybe if it was Hulk Hogan or, you know, a star WWE wrestler, Ric Flair would be maybe more famous, but not an Olympic wrestler because we care about Dawn from North Philly more. I didn't even think that could possibly be a thing.
I'll spar for a little while and email, and then finally I reached the spam quota.
Yeah. I even gave him a warning.
Yeah, well, you know. And also, while we're at it, you're going to get an automatic block, whether it's email or whether it's Twitter, with this Jinx thing, okay? Because all three of us loved the Sixers in that game last night. And for some reason, you feel the need to blame me saying that I jinxed it. So, like, that, I've had enough of that. And you're going to, so when you do that, it's an automatic block, just so we're on the same page. All right, let's take a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, 3:48. Mike Missinelli show. Jay Wright will join us at 4:00, and Allen Iverson tomorrow will be on the program. So we'll get to discuss his little dudes, how they're doing. Little dudes are in trouble. I wonder what his reaction to this whole thing is going to be. Because, you know, my man, he played as a warrior. And last night, there weren't any warriors out there.
I'm sure he has thoughts.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Angela and Elkins Park. Oh, I'm sorry. Wow, I'm screwed
What's
up.
My name?
I'm sorry,
Skip.
Jen, I'm so sorry because it is time now for what's the... You know, I'm so obsessed and depressed. The things that just came to play. This is refreshing.
Right.
I need this.
I know. I'm
here to
give
you a
deal.
What's Brewing with Jen, and it, of course, is brought to us by Dunkin'. It's always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, you can pick your day to score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid participating locations for a very limited time. Exclusions apply. Jen Scordo finding 3 stories that will take our minds off this damn Sixer thing. Jen! Yes. Help us out.
Okay, I'm here. So a new Star Wars scented candle is about to go on sale. There are actually 3 of them. I am a big Star Wars fan, so I'm super excited about this. The first one's called Endor. It's inspired by the Ewoks and their forest moon where they inhabit. It smells like wild fern and pine needles, which I would only assume kind of probably smells like Christmas. Wild fern? I'm not quite sure what wild fern smells like.
Oh, pine.
Right, pine, right. Like a Christmas tree.
Well, I'm saying there's non-Christmas, like a fall type of candle that's pine-ish.
Pine-ish?
Yeah.
It's not Christmassy?
Yes.
All right, I believe you. The second one is Tatooine. It has hints of juniper and desert shrub. You want to tell me what desert shrubs smell like?
I'm a fan of juniper.
I love juniper.
I love the desert shrub.
What do you think that smells like? Desert shrub.
I
don't know, right?
Like
sand?
Yeah, like sandish, like type of
sand-ish?
Like sandstorm, like smell, like a sandy male smell.
Sandy male smell?
Yeah, like sandstone. You know, I don't know.
It's probably smelled decent with the juniper. That's probably a decent candle.
I would think so, yeah.
That fern scent is a damp, sweet, woody fragrance.
Woody. That's a good way to describe the first one. And then the third one is called Death Star. It smells like smoked amber and forged steel. They do all three sound fairly masculine, but I like that in a candle
a lot.
Yeah. Sure.
Well, juniper's not masculine.
Not really. Yeah, that's the second one kind of doesn't. But forged steel and smoked amber, that's pretty masculine.
So you like those males. That's interesting.
Yeah, I like it. Like
you like a nice woodsy bourbon candle?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I happen to have one of those.
Yeah. You like it?
Well, yeah. It enhances when I'm smoking a cigar.
I got that bourbon.
It's a den of man. when I fire that candle up.
Okay. Yeah. So there you go. Maybe you can buy a Star Wars themed candle for your mom for Mother's Day. If you don't want to get her a candle, you can go to KFC because they are offering a Mother's Day Kentucky Fried bucket, like bouquet, but bucket. It's a customizable arrangement that's half flowers and half fried chicken. Now, if your mother is a vegan or a vegetarian, that might not be the best thing for you to get her. But if she is a fan of KFC, which I am, you could do this. It's only available to customers ordering through the KFC app, only from May 1st to May 3rd. You'll get a promo code, and they'll be able to get everything to you. And what you need to do, you actually have to assemble it, because it's all through Pro Flowers. They send the flowers, and then KFC sends the chicken, and you put it on the skewers.
I can't have mom work for the food.
Well, you would do
fried
it.
Fried chicken?
You would put it together and then give it to mom.
Well, yeah, but she's going to get fried chicken. Well, I'm going to have her like be chomping on chicken and get greasy fingers on Mother's Day.
It would be kind of like an edible arrangement. You know, there's edible arrangements.
What?
They have,
I thought
like,
it had chicken in it.
It does.
Oh, so
but
it's
also flowers.
Chicken and flowers.
Yes. You just pull out the chicken and eat the chicken, and then you have the flowers.
That's what I'm saying. You're forcing mom to get our hands all greasy to munch on some chicken.
I mean, you're going to get greasy anyway eating fried chicken.
Yeah, she could. Yeah.
My mom
using a fork and a knife on Mother's Day.
Huh? You want it to be a little classier?
Yeah.
You mean, I see.
I can't have her, like, you know.
Right, but if your mom wants chicken,
yeah,
get her what she wants.
That's right.
Not what you think she should have. Like, get her what she wants.
How many moms you think want Kentucky Fried Chicken on Mother's Day?
Thousands.
Probably a lot.
Yeah, thousands. I do. I think thousands.
If I was a mother, I would.
There's 150 men.
I'd take mom out for a nice dinner.
You can still do that.
You can still do that.
You can get her the
she
gonna
have the chicken for breakfast?
Or she can have and chicken reheats very well.
It does.
You can eat chicken later. Like she
can eat chicken cold.
Right, so I mean she might enjoy the chicken.
It's like Tony going to her Mother's Day with the Crown Royal. Well, mom is gonna get slashed on Crown Royal.
Maybe there are a lot of ladies that like Crown Royal. Might be all right.
All right.
All right, we'll end with this one. I'm going to be delicate once again. A man in Brazil has 9 wives.
That's dumb.
He had to set a, quote, sex schedule to, quote, fulfill my sexuality at any cost. That's what he said. See, the 9 women are beautiful. He is a very handsome gentleman. This is all in Brazil. They do not recognize polygamy, so his marriage is not actually legally binding. But he lives with all 9 women, and he said he had to set a schedule, like on an Excel file, to make sure that he was satisfied and that they were always satisfied. But they found out that the schedule was not great because then they felt like they had to at certain times. You know how that can go.
Right.
Maybe he didn't want to that night and they had to because it was on the schedule. So he's gone back to just the natural sex flow and that everything is wonderful.
Well, let's talk about this natural sex flow.
Yeah.
How old is my man?
It does not say, actually. He's younger. I mean, he looks young. The women look younger.
Seriously, 30. Like I can see if you're in your 20s.
Yeah, I would think
and you can recover.
Yeah, 9
women. Like, yeah, you can't.
It would be possible to recover.
He also has an fan-only page. Is that what it's called? OnlyFans page?
That what all right, called? Well, listen.
I don't know what he does on the OnlyFans right, page, but he has it, and evidently it's very lucrative.
You're going to come a time, you're going to need a hat full of pills.
And
that thing's not going to last. This is a novelty.
Well, one woman already left.
That's what I'm saying. That's not
so
he has got eight left.
Well, no, yes. He had 10. Now he has 9.
It'll be one. The one that actually likes them, because the rest of them just want the money and the fame.
But yeah, they don't get jealous of each other. What they get jealous of is when he buys a more extravagant or more expensive gift for somebody
and
else.
And that's not supposed to be allowed. If it was really recognized, you couldn't live like that. Everybody
right.
has to be equal.
Right.
That's why 9's stupid. And he's stupid.
Yeah.
9.
I don't know how
it's
you
hard enough
that.
To do it one.
Exactly.
9.
9?
I'd rather die.
Yeah, but that Uncle Junior line of Sopranos. How you doing, Uncle June? What can I get you? Well, you can give me a blow of big boobs and a hat full of Viagra.
Oh, my goodness.
It's an Uncle June line. Uncle June was the best. Anyway, coming up in the 4 o'clock hour. Yes, take our mind off a little bit. Jen took our mind off a little bit with What's Brewing with Jen, brought to you by Dunkin. Always game on with Dunkin. Pick your day, score a free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Jay Wright will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll talk to Jay about some basketball issues, about his life, the Sixers. There was a story today, ESPN.com. The headline says, retired Villanova men's basketball coach Jay Wright leaves door open for possible move to the NBA. I don't know if that's the way he's feeling, but that's what the headline said. And we'll talk to him after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4 o'clock hour of the Mike Missinelli Show, and it's brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create jaw-dropping outdoor paradise on land, landisbc.com. Well, last week, as we were obsessing with the Sixers and the game where they actually won, another news item broke, and it was a startling news item, and it was Jay Wright retiring as Villanova basketball coach, and we got this moment to talk to Jay about that decision and other things. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline with us. The great Jay Wright joins us. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Mikey Mitch. How are you, buddy?
Doing good, and I guess you're doing good, too. And you know, a lot of broken basketball hearts out there, but congratulations on creating a new path for yourself.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. It's a weird time. I feel, in one sense, it's tough. I feel like I'm letting people down, but I feel like I'm doing the right thing for our program going forward. I think we're in a good spot, and we got a great guy in Kyle Neptune. We keep our staff together and keep all our players here. That's what you're supposed to do, like leave it better than you found it. And I think we're in a good spot going forward.
Well, it takes a lot of courage, first of all, to step away from something you've loved for a really long time. But it's also enlightening to go into another chapter. And you know, people always ask you, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You don't have to do anything. That's the thing about retirement. You don't have to do anything but choose an opportunity that may come along. Now, you're going to still be working for Villanova, and I assume that you could step right into a television role as a studio analyst right away. And are you interested in doing that?
You know what, Mike? It's exactly how you said. I didn't have a plan. I don't have a plan. I just knew that this was the right time to do this, and I knew this was the time we could get Kyle in here and keep our staff. So you don't know when you're going to get that opportunity. You know, if you have a bad year, they might not listen to you, you know? So I knew I had a chance to do that. And then I thought, if we do that, I can take a year with a clear mind here, work for the university, and then just think about with a clear mind rather than, you know, go, you think about this stuff when you're coaching, you definitely don't have a clear mind. You're out of your mind when you're coaching. So just see what opportunities come up and see what's exciting.
Well, the opportunity is going to come up. I mean, I'm sure they have already. So are you committed to not doing anything for a while? Like, if a TV network comes at you, are you in?
You know what? I don't know, Michael. I'm committed to working here at Villanova with our president and helping with this transition. Definitely commit to that. And if that's all I do this year, I'm good. And like, people are starting to come up with some interesting ideas. I'm just not even ready to think about it yet. Like, I'm in the office today. We're still here. We got one of our recruits is visiting, and so I'm just trying to work on this transition. And then after we finish this transition, I definitely want to get some time away, clear my mind, then start thinking about what opportunities are there.
Yeah, the transition obviously is like some recruits that you recruited that wanted to come there because of Jay Wright. How do you approach that now?
Well, it was almost, and it's probably just as hard to tell the recruits, our three recruits, as it was to tell the team, because I feel like the team's in a good place, and our staff is staying, and Kyle recruited these guys that are here with us. So I feel like after the initial shock, they're comfortable, they're good, everybody's good. But the recruits, they don't know everybody as well. They don't know Kyle as well. And I love these guys, and I felt so close to them and wanted to coach them. That was really hard, but I think they're good. I think we're good with all three of them. Looks like we're going to be good with the whole crew, which is a burden off my back.
Yeah,
you want to leave it in a good position. I didn't want to do anything to hurt the program. So I'm feeling like we're in a good position with those guys right now.
Jay, I got to bring this up because, you know, I've talked to you about this many times before about a possibility that you would coach in the NBA, and you've always said, I'm happy Villanova. But I have a headline in front of me, ESPN.com story. Retired Villanova men's basketball coach Jay Wright leaves door open for possible move to the NBA.
Did I say that?
I know.
Is there a quote of me saying that?
No, you said that, honestly, down the road, I'd be lying. I don't know what I'm going to feel like. And I guess that meant that you didn't say no to the NBA.
Okay. I mean, right now, I do not think I'm going to coach at all. I don't feel like coaching. I'm as I said, I'm interested in this transition. I'm interested in working here at Villanova. And then, like, after we get through this, and hopefully, like, a month or two, then I would just start thinking about next. But next would be, like, down the road. I really am not interested. I know I'm not interested in doing that right now. I know that.
Well, you know, there are people out there that want you to coach Thursday night here with the 76ers.
I was listening to you. Those
yeah,
two.
No, I'm seriously, I've gotten tweets on it already. So let's segue into the Sixers, and I don't know if you saw last night's game, but it's hard to process. The reason why you're good to talk, you have NBA experience with NBA players, and also obviously college motivating college kids. Where is the line drawn between motivating college players and motivating professional players? Because last night it didn't look like they had any motivation.
Yeah, it's totally different motivating college players and motivating NBA players. The NBA players are truly self-motivated. I kind of looked at last night like the Sixers kind of had the feeling like we're home, we got this, this is going to happen, we're going to just go do our work. Playing with that injury, it's not something you're comfortable with the first time. Like, you're playing that first time when you're injured, and probably he would never admit it, but you're literally pissed that you go for a loose ball and it hurts. You go score and it hurts. And you want to make a play and you can't. You get banged and you actually get pissed that you're in that position. And the next game, after that game, you say to yourself, all right, look, this is what it's going to be. It's just what it's going to be. It's not changing. I got to suck it up, and I got to play. And I really think that's what you're going to see out of them. I think that first time, those kind of injuries, and we Jermaine Samuels had that for us, the same thing, had surgery after the season last year. And when you initially get it, it's so hard to play that way. And then for the team, he's such a force, and he's not playing like a force because of that. And then you haven't adjusted around him yet. I think you're going to see him play with more force. I think you're going to see the other guys step up. And I think we're going to be in good shape.
Well, I hope you're right. Last night, I thought it was really kind of disgraceful that they didn't give an effort in a closeout game with their home crowd behind them, which leads me to James Harden and what people are saying. You look at James Harden, you're a guard expert. What are you seeing with him?
I'm seeing a guy that got put into a situation with a new team. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Like, how many years Draymond and all those guys, Clay, Steph, have played together. Like, that's what makes great teams. And so when they were cooking in those first two games, they were cooking. And then you get a little adversity, like Joel getting hurt like that and then not being on top of his game. And they don't really know yet how to play off each other when those things happen. They haven't been through that before. So I think you're going to see them. I think he's going to see it like, all right, Joel's like, he's not going to be the massive force he's been. He's going to be good. He's going to kick it out a little bit more. He's not going to get to the foul line as much, probably not going to be as physical. I got to step it up more. I think you're going to see that. I think Maxey's going to do that. I just think they had to go through that. I don't think they were ready for that in that last game.
Yeah, it's hard for me to believe that they weren't ready for that. But I think they have to win game six because, like, a game seven, it's frightening to me with that team just playing with house money, the Toronto Raptors. So we'll see what happens. Now, listen, Jay, you and I go way back, obviously. Yep. And we're both from Bucks, so we have that Bucks pedigree. And I was very aware of your basketball pedigree as a player at Council Rock High School. A lot of people don't know that you scored 69 points in a game. 69? What are you kidding me? It was against Malvern Prep.
No.
You owned this. What?
No, that is not true, Mike.
It's not true?
No. I don't know how that got out there.
I got that in The Athletic.
I don't have done how many interviews I've done.
You've never scored 69.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, you had some big scoring games.
I know you enough that I can tell you the truth. And just say, these other guys do it. I'm like, I'm not going to stop their whole. They probably get on this. You gotta help me get it. I did not.
Wait, but you were a
prep when I was a Council Rock.
Okay. All right. But you were a prolific scorer in high school for Council Rock. And you had a very good college career. I assume that you could have maybe played in Europe, but you decided right out of college to go into the coaching profession. Why?
I'll tell you what. I had a chance to play in France at a low level. I was so scared to leave Philly. I was typical Philly guy. Like, I'm like, I can't leave here. I can't. I'm not going anywhere. And I failed on it. But I it was the next thing for me that in basketball, you know. I actually worked for the Philadelphia Stars in the USFL for a year after college under Carl Peterson with Jim Marr.
Yeah, I do remember that.
We're having a Stars reunion, as a matter of fact, in June. But I just knew I just loved the game, and that was my way in. And my first shot was at University of Rochester, Division III. I was on that campus for like 2 days, and I was like, this is it. I love this. I love working with these guys. I love being around the game. I just knew I loved it.
All right, so when you go back to your career, and I know it's hard to review your whole career because people ask you about what you think your legacy is, but was there one point of your career that shaped your career? If there was one point, what would it be?
Well, I don't know, Mike. I think getting the break to come back to Villanova, like, once you get into coaching, you realize, all right, I got to go wherever I can get a job. It's coaching. Like, I could be anywhere. Like, we were in Las Vegas. I was in Rochester, New York. I was in Long Island. To get the chance to come home and be at a dream job, once that happened, in my mind, I'm thinking, like, this is it. Like, I don't need to do anything else. I'm home. I'm at Villanova, dream job. Like, let's make this great. And it's funny, I'd always tell our assistants, whatever job you get, make that your dream job, you know, and then whatever comes of it, comes of it. But make sure you position yourself like, I'm going to be here the rest of my life. I'm going to make this the best job in the world. Well, I got that job. So I was so lucky. And I think you know, once you get here, everybody that's been here has been successful. Every coach has won at Villanova. When you get this job, it's a pretty good job.
You made the NIT your first year. The next year, though, was a little rocky. Did you ever doubt that you were going to be this legend at Villanova?
Hell yeah. Hey, thank God you weren't our beat writer like back in the day when you used to bust Coach Mass's chops all the time. Yeah. Dana O'Neill was our beat writer after our third year. She said, "Can I meet you at the Villanova Diner, the preseason article?" I was like, "Yeah." I'd meet her there. She goes, "You know what article I have to write, right?" I go, "Oh, yeah, I know." She's like, "I got to write. You're getting fired if you don't win this year, right?" I go, "I know. You got to write it." So it was after our third year. It was shaky, man.
It was the phone card scandal.
Yes.
Right? Yeah.
Think about it now. They used to have phones in their dorms, and they got an access number that they all shared with each other, and so they could make phone calls from their dorm rooms. Now nobody even has them anymore.
Yeah.
And we had guys get suspended for games, and it was a nightmare.
So you thought you actually could maybe lose the job then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I thought it was a very good shot. After that year, I could get fired, definitely.
Wow.
That was after our third year.
All right, so now I ask you the final question. What do you think your legacy is? You're in the Hall of Fame. You're one of the great coaches. I mean, nationally, you're regarded as one of the great coaches of all time in college basketball. What is your legacy?
You know, I don't know, Mike. I let that go to you guys. You guys have been good to me. You guys tell the truth. I don't care if you talk about my weaknesses because I had plenty. I've been treated fairly by the media. I don't care. I really don't. I'm just so happy that we kept this tradition alive here and we got a great relationship with our players. And I was able to, you know, leave here with the program in good shape and pass it on so that, you know, we're moving forward in strength. I'm happy with that. I really am.
Jay, listen, it's been a pleasure to watch you all these years, and the success you've achieved is just fantastic. You're a name that this city, it's ingrained in this city now, how your name resonates. So good luck, whatever happens to you. And if it does come to the NBA, well, maybe it could come right here.
you're so bad, Mike.
Listen, you take care. We'll run into each other along the way.
Great talking to you, Mike. Take care, Mike.
Take care. There's Jay Wright, head coach of the Villanova Wildcats. Yeah, he's just a rare guy, man. He's always been just a straight shooter and affable. And yeah.
There's nothing not to like about him.
No, there really isn't.
It's a class act.
And, you know, helping out he's the ambassador where, like, he goes to some function with donors. Guys can't wait to give him a $50,000 check for Villanova. You know, yep. It's like, I just can't wait. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll re-rack this 76ers situation and get it all out of our system because there is a game six. And in that game six, they could win. They better. The Mike Missinelli Show continues after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, it's time to update our Twitter poll. Brought to us by Powered by Moyer.com. Pulby Moyer & Sons in Doylestown gives us the Twitter poll with Jen Scordo. Two polls going today. What's the update, Jen?
That's me, and I have both of them. First one, we know Embiid has to find a way to be better in game six or seven to save the series. Will any other Sixers player step up? 13% say Harden, 14% say Tobias, 32% say nobody's going to step up, and 41% say Maxi will. If the Sixers blow a 3-0 lead, can Harden, Morey, or Rivers return next year? This is a very interesting result. 2% say Doc can return, 14% say Harden, 29% say all must go, and 55% say Morey can return.
So Morey will be back.
Morey evidently would
come
be back
no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah, Jay made a good point about Joel saying, you know, the first time you play with it, yeah, it feels unnatural. And like I said, I think he was feeling sorry for himself a little bit with the injury, but then it changes. And, like, his hope is that then everybody else would gravitate towards Embiid having a monster game, which I hope is true.
Yes, necessary. Another thing I was just reading from a multiple doctors, they say that the injury doesn't heal. You have to get surgery. The ligament does not reattach. He has to have surgery in the offseason. But they say the weird thing about the pain is, for some reason, they have no idea why, it's very uncomfortable initially. But they say, for some reason, as days go by even, it gets less painful, and they don't know why.
Yeah. Really?
The body probably adjusts
to it.
That's interesting. And, he says he's African. He doesn't feel any pain. So
he feels pain. What I mean is, this is where not playing a game tomorrow in the extra day and not playing till Thursday could be advantageous for how his hand feels. It won't heal the injury, but for some reason, they say that, and this isn't even like with athletes. This is like regular people, whatever. The pain of the injury goes down. They say if you had, like, tear your ACL and you don't fix it and you keep walking around, they say it hurts all the time. But this, for some reason, the pain does drop versus other injuries, they don't. You have to get it fixed. Like, it's a weird thing, and you can't make it worse.
That's actually good news.
Yeah, that's beneficial. Yeah.
We'll see if that works out, but they say it's like a pretty common thing where people are freaking out, their fingers bending every which way it's not supposed to, they're freaked out, they're in pain, but they have some job or some appointment or something where they can't get surgery, and then as the days go by, the pain drops, and they're able to delay surgery.
All right. Again, game six is so important. I do not trust them in a game seven.
Nope.
All right, Phillies won last night, and they're back at it tonight. And a lot of people are wondering whether they're going to get it in because rain is in the forecast to start at like 5 o'clock. The word is that they think they're going to be able to get it in. So, Herman Marquez for the Rockies versus Zach Eflin for the Phillies. Now, the Phillies have some monster numbers against Herman Marquez. But equally, the Colorado Rockies have some good numbers against Eflin. So we'll see what breaks tonight.
Yeah. Gibson settled down nicely last night. He's good. He's pretty good.
Yeah, he's like Nola. He has to hit spots and get ground balls.
That first pitch, though.
Yeah, first pitch.
Oh, okay.
They're down 2-0, and then he settled down. He does a good job keeping the ball down for the most part. Nola elevates too much at times. He keeps it down. I can't give him credit. He's not your number one or anything. But
no, you see where they just they made a transition. They Torres asked for his release.
Yeah, so
granted.
And they games released. And then they just traded left-handers here. Falter's going back to AAA to learn how to be a starter, and Damon Jones is back up.
Who got
slammed when he was up here. Yeah. All right, so Segura, their lineup is Segura hitting .455 against Marquez.
Okay.
Hoskins is in the two hole. Harper, .313 against Marquez. Castellanos is .448 against Marquez. Real Muto is .515, .333. Schwarber is .462 against Marquez. Bohm is .446.
Wow.
Gregorius is 0-9, so that's he's back in the lineup. And Odubel Herrera is 4-12 against him. So he shouldn't have a problem tonight. Either.
No, boy, I bet you he was upset turning that lineup card without Camargo on it.
Yeah, he had to finally give Camargo a night off.
Well, he went 0-4 finally. He's still been like .291 early with the 0-4, so he's hit. I don't know. He's just. I bet you that's why Torres asked for his release. He went, wait a minute. He's treating Camargo like he used to treat me.
Yeah.
I got to get out of here and find another manager that likes me.
Eflin should be careful with the top of the lineup tonight because Charlie Blackman's hitting .500 against him and Chris Bryant's hitting .600.
Yeah, be careful there.
Pitch around those two dudes.
Yes. Joel Embiid's not going to be in a great mood tomorrow.
No.
He's in the Champions League. Man City. My squad, Man City's 4-2 over Real Madrid.
Uh-oh. Wow.
There you go.
That's the squad. So hopefully that helps further his anger for going into game six.
That's way it. Harden soccer.
I mean,
he's going to weigh his anger.
I wonder what he meant by, I just wanted to be himself. I wanted to be aggressive. Isn't that him basically saying, I need more help?
Yeah.
But he can't say it like that. So he's saying,
Yeah,
I just wanted to be aggressive and be himself. Meaning maybe some of the possessions dribble the whole time and you shoot.
Yep.
Rather than dribble the whole time and then pass to somebody with 5 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah.
Just shoot it yourself.
I got you. Ben's in Ohio. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ben, vent.
No, I'm north of Detroit now. I'm almost home. My God, my ass is sore. How you doing?
Good, Ben.
I don't know why I asked you that. I'm sorry. People keep asking, how are you doing, bad people? Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I just got to vent, Mike.
Go ahead, Ben.
I don't know what the hell that was, man. I drove, like I just said, 10 hours I drove. I'm the biggest sucker in the world.
Yeah.
I didn't drive all that way to boo both my
For people don't know, you actually drove to the game.
I drove from Michigan
to the game.
Oh, I gotta, I don't even know what I'm about to get hit with, the toll booth at the PA turns nut.
Yeah, we can't.
Come on!
I mean, we get that
melon.
Melon.
We let all the stuff slide. You can't.
Yeah, come on, man.
Come on, buddy.
You can't do that. All right, let's go. Jess, Clifton Heights. What's up, Jess?
Hey, Mike. Hey, Jen.
Hello, Jess. How's it going, buddy?
Can't complain. Hey, I just wanted to say, man, the first reason we lost that game was, like I said before the playoffs started, is Doc Rivers coaching, first and foremost. It was a lot of blame to go around. But his in-game adjustments, his game plan before the game, is nothing changed. Even when everyone knew Embiid's hand needed surgery, he didn't change the game plan. Tobias got going. And Harden didn't take a shot in the second nor third quarter. At what point do we say someone on the coaching staff something, shoot the ball, you guys have to help out, shoot the ball. I know these stars get paid a lot of money to...
Listen, I can assume that he said that. I don't know. I can't imagine he wouldn't tell James.
Take a shot in the second.
I understand, but maybe that was just on James. Who knows what he thinks. But I'm sure that they encouraged him. He's got to shoot it.
Well, if he's like the move, one of my favorite moves, like I heard you guys on his favorite moves, like on Casino, when the guy got busted for the jackpot on the slot machine a couple of times. You say either you're in on it or you're too stupid to know. Either way, you're fired.
Yeah.
I would like that.
It's a good scene.
That's how I look.
As did dumb brother-in-law.
Yeah. You're too stupid to know. Either in or you're too stupid to know. Either way, you're out of here.
You're firing me, Mr. Rothstein?
Yeah, that's why I blame it on Doc.
All right, Jess. You got it, buddy. And a lot of people blame it. Doc, listen, I hear it. I just go, you know, players just have to, let's go. All right, you knew exactly how Toronto was going to play, so maybe he wasn't prepared how to attack them. But, you know, those guys were not engaged last night like they should have been. Dave in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Yo, Ken.
What's up, Dave?
Bravo to Jay Wright. What a beautiful interview that was. Jay, if you're still listening, I'm buddies with your backcourt mate at Bucknell, Cal Purifoy. And his son's going to be the next Magic Johnson. So,
all right. Well, I'm sure next time I see him, I'll tell him.
I'm going to give you the good news first.
All right, go ahead.
This series reminds me so much of the 2000 series that involved the Pacers and the Sixers semifinal series. Pacers have the home court. They go up 3-0. Sixers boat race them in game 4.
Okay.
Sorry, that was my fault.
What happened?
I can't with him with the boat race anymore. I just can't. I'm sorry. That's all my fault. I apologize. I'm sorry. That's my fault.
He's got to mix the boat race in every conversation.
I can't. We can't. We can't. Collectively, the city can't.
Dave, you got to work on a different. Like, the boat race thing is getting a little old. So just like, Just say smashed. You know, like something more generic.
Anything other than that.
All right, Joe in Jersey. What's up, Joe?
Hi, Mike.
Hello, Joe. How you doing?
I'm doing great. I have to say, that was a great interview with Jay Wright. I mean, you asked some great questions.
Thank you. I've known Jay for a really long time, so he's a very easy man to talk to.
Yeah, he sounds like it. I called about the Sixers. Mm-hmm. I think it's pretty simple. They're playing not to lose. They're just not aggressive enough.
I agree. I agree. Or they're thinking they don't have to exhibit the energy it takes to close out a team, and they think they've got the series won already. But I can buy that in Toronto. I can't buy it at the Wells Fargo Center last night. I don't get that. I understand that kind of mentality.
Well, I hate to say it, but it goes back to the coach a little bit. I mean, whatever. It was really good.
Well, his track record isn't good, so I guess I got to give it up too. Why does he blow leads? What is it about Doc Rivers that enables him to get in these kind of situations? I don't know.
But can he survive this if they lose?
Oh, hell no. Are you kidding me? There's absolutely no way he could come back as a coach. It would make history if he blows this series.
I agree. Totally.
He would never coach again if this happens.
Okay. We're totally on board. Go Sixers. They got to play with more heart.
All right, man. Doc probably doesn't care if he coaches again. He played golf the rest of his life, but there's no, like, this would be historic. It would add to his already tainted legacy about blowing leads. It would put him in six feet under as far as a coach goes.
In fact, it should almost be a rule. And I don't mean to be this way, but if you blow 3-0 lead and you already have 1,000 wins, you're not allowed to coach anymore after that anywhere. Like, that's it. Like, that game is your final game.
Well, I don't know. Maybe he would think he would need to redeem himself. You cannot lose this in a historic proportion like this and think you could ever coach again. Maybe some low team would, but like, he probably wouldn't take just any job. Like Sacramento Kings wants some recognition as head coach. Would he take a job like that? I don't know.
I mean, it does pay green money.
Yeah.
But
he's got enough green money, doesn't he?
That's what I'm thinking. Like, if it hasn't happened, maybe they come out, play hard, and most importantly, they haven't made shots the last two games. If they make shots, it makes a big difference. And they've gotten some clean looks. It's just, if this happens, you kind of have to just hang it up.
Well, they would make that decision definitely for him.
Well, no, what I mean is,
there's no chance in hell you think he would keep his job, right?
No. But I'm saying, even if you go to another city and you coach somewhere else, every one of their fans is just waiting. The 82 games become a waste.
Yeah.
You don't want to take a job, and any job he would take, everyone would ignore whatever he did for the first 82.
Yeah.
And it would all be about what he did in the playoffs.
Of course.
And that's not a healthy way for anybody to coach. Whether it's him or anybody else, like if the regular season didn't matter at all, he could be the one seed and everybody would be like, yeah, right, wait till the playoffs. Like, he wouldn't get any kind of relief at all.
Yeah.
People would be on him about that every day for a full calendar year.
I'm holding fast to the notion that they go to Toronto and show a personality that they showed at the start of the series and get out of this series. And then we go, whew. Now, that doesn't mean anything for the next series, but at least we would escape the kind of heartbreak that would fall on everybody if they lost this series.
Yes, and Miami's got injuries now.
Yeah.
Lowry and Butler out tonight.
Yeah.
If they ain't got lingering injuries, just get to the series and see what happens. Just get there.
All right, 610-632-0975. This is a quick break. So we're back in a flash with your calls.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.446 Mike Mussinelli Show. You know, it's funny. I was at the grocery store yesterday. First thing that hit me, they were selling these little pretzel bites. That weren't Philly soft pretzel. It was like a tub of little pretzel, soft pretzel bites.
Okay.
Like the people at today's National Pretzel Day.
It is.
Yeah, so the people at Philly Pretzel Factory brought us some of those.
I had one earlier.
Those little dudes.
Oh, I had a full-on pretzel.
I had the full ones, too.
Yeah, I got the full ones.
Yeah, I got a full one here, but those little nubs, they were being sold in the grocery store with a big display.
Yeah.
And I was tempted, but they were $6.99. So I passed
for the whole tub.
Yeah,
not for one tub,
but yeah. Then we get a big tray of them over here.
Yeah.
So I've got my filled pretzel today on National Pretzel Day.
See, I like the little one because it's just, you know, it can just satisfy the craving.
I agree.
But I need a full pretzel for the middle.
I don't get the chocolate thing.
I don't get the chocolate either. I want spicy mustard.
Yeah,
I'll take yellow mustard if that's all they got.
Yeah, you can't sweeten up a salt pretzel.
Yeah. But a lot of people like it, though.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't either. Do you ever have chocolate hummus?
I have not.
No.
Don't.
That's a thing?
No, I don't mix the sweet.
Don't do it.
When I got savory on the tongue, I don't want to mix sweet with it.
Yeah, it's nice and salty.
Yes.
But they'll tell you mustard, it's a perfectly vinegary spice.
Well, it may be for some people.
What they'll say.
Well, look, I like sea salt on chocolate. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine.
I guess. I don't know. It's just the chocolate on the pretzel didn't do anything for me.
Yeah, me neither.
No, it's just mustard. And that's one of the things where it kind of, they should almost make it a rule.
You got a lot of rules today.
Like the hot dog.
I like it.
No.
Yeah.
I think that.
Yes.
I think people, no, I don't agree. I think that there should be people, if you want to put ketchup on, fine. Like I used to do ketchup on one side of the bun, mustard on the other side of the bun. I don't think that's a violation.
It's not.
It would be with a pretzel. You can't put ketchup on really anything other than mustard to me on the pretzel.
Let me ask you a question. Would you put ketchup on a bologna and cheese?
I might
put ketchup on a bologna and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
I might.
No, I wouldn't. Okay, I wouldn't eat bologna.
It's the same thing. Bologna's a hot dog.
No.
Bologna is a hot dog.
Bologna's
a hot dog.
Even worse.
You ever fry it, though, bologna?
Fried bologna is quite good.
It is delightful.
Bologna's worse, Mike. On the
bologna and hot dog are the same thing. It's the same taste.
And then scrapples at the bottom.
Well, I do scrapple, but I do bologna. I can do some bologna now.
I know you
have. But I put mustard on that bologna cheese sandwich.
That's good.
Right.
Well, no, you're saying it's... hot dog, you're putting ketchup on. You wouldn't put ketchup on the bologna, but you put ketchup on the hot dog. It's the same thing.
I don't think it is. It doesn't hit. Maybe it's the bread, the bun hits different.
Yeah, it is the same thing generally, but it's very different.
It hits different, doesn't it, Jim?
Yeah,
for
no,
some
I'm with
reason,
you.
That's what I used to do. Even with the veggie dogs and stuff now. Ketchup on the one side,
yes.
Mustard on the other side, because those packets don't have enough. When you like buy them out, those packets don't have enough.
Right.
So one packet of ketchup plus one packet of mustard.
Mustard,
and now you're in business.
We can put a man on the moon. We can't make a good ketchup packet or a mustard packet. There's no way that a mustard ketchup packet is ever clean. You can't get it clean.
Oh, and some people who bite it with their mouth.
No,
open.
I'm taking. Yeah, what do you know? I mean, you rip the end, and you're still going to get crap on your fingers. And it's a flawed system.
Have you ever had the little ketchup cup now, where you can either squeeze it out or you can open it and dip into it?
That's much better. And I'll tell you what else should be eliminated from society.
Tell me.
The relish packet.
Oh, it's so dumb.
You're getting three pieces of little relish out of that thing.
You need 7 of them. You're right. You need like a few.
So
dumb. Right.
Don't even bother. I'd rather have a big tub of nasty relish out in the open than wrestle with those things.
Right. You can grab a spoon and ladle it on.
Exactly right.
That's what you want to do. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. That's why I skip it. Because what happens is I haven't had relish in a long time because... It's the like, I don't buy
it's a wrestling
it.
Match.
Yeah, I don't buy it like for the house. You can't when you go out. You can't get
you
it.
You can't make the crack big enough to get the smooth flow of the relish.
Right.
Oh yes, I agree.
These clumps, if you could get it at
right.
all, it's a one clump.
And then you get it all over nothing. Your hands.
Right, trying to spread yep. it onto the no.
And boy, doesn't work.
For the first time, agrees with you about food.
There you go.
About the bologna.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Bologna and cheese, got to be mustard. Can't put ketchup on it. Therefore, hot dog with mustard.
I've been doing it for my whole life. I can't change. I have to keep doing it.
Let's go to Phoenix. Mitch. What's up, Mitch?
Well, now that you settled the mustard ketchup situation, let's get back to the 7.
Okay, questions. Let's do it.
Yeah, and this is what I think. This is my thought. They have no answer for Siakam. They have no answer for young guys that are talented, that are 6'8". So they have a big defensive problem. Now, if you remember last year, Mike, mm-hmm. you were so distraught about what was going on with the Atlanta Hawks. You said you weren't going to watch game 6, which I believe was a Friday night, but you would have to come to work on Monday. How would you discuss the game if you didn't watch
it? Well, I obviously DVR'd it. I wasn't going to watch it in general. I was disgusted by game 5 to the point where I wasn't going to give them my attention. But if they had won, obviously I would have I had it on DVR.
Now, what about this year? Are you just as disgusted as last year?
No. I'm invested in game 6. Because, listen, that game, they lost a 25-point lead, and I lost a lot of money. All right, so I was a lot more bitter. Now that said, I lost a lot of money on the money line last night, and not only that, but at halftime they come out with the Sixers +5, a halftime bet. I go, they're only down 10. They got to make a run. I think 5 is stealing. I lost that bet too.
Wait a minute, the Sixers were favored by 8 last
Yes,
night,
but
right?
at halftime they were down 10, so they were doing a live line, and they were giving the Sixers +5 at halftime.
Oh, okay, I got you. All right, so now I understand why you were so upset last year.
A 25-point lead is ridiculous. They lose.
This is what I would do going forward. Jalen Brunson is available next year. He's a free agent. I would not bring Harding back. I would try to get Jalen because he's a good point guard. He's quiet, but he does his job. He gets the job done. You like him?
He's scored a lot more than I thought he would in this league.
Well,
but he also is a tiny guy. They need a little height. Your backcourt's going to be 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, cause especially if Maxie's the other guy, right?
Yes.
Yeah, well, they got a lot of work to do. No matter what happens in this series, they got a lot of work to do for next year. Cause you got a lot of
stuff. There's no question about that. Now, I'll take Jalen Brunson in a heartbeat coming off a bench. Come on.
He's earned himself some money.
Yeah, he has.
He's played really well, and he played well without Luka, and that was tough.
Yep. All right, let's roll to the 5 o'clock hour.
We made a rule for the 5 o'clock hour.
If anybody
calls in about James Harden...
You can't say Harding.
And say Harding, you're immediately out like the boat race. In the 5 o'clock hour.
You know, I think people are conditioned to think that he was Warren G. Harding, one of the most popular presidents ever. But where do you get Harding? Where's Harding even come from?
The only
Harding I know is Warren G., and he was a president we should forget.
Right, and he's not even my favorite Warren G. The rapper Warren G. is my favorite Warren G.
What other Harding is there that you say Harding?
I don't know. So, Father, it's not my rule. This is Booty's rule. You're out.
I love all these rules.
In the 5 o'clock hour coming up.
All these rules today. Right. I love it.
We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Regulators! Mount up!
It was a clear black night, a clear white
night. Nice.
Warmer G was on the streets.
Nice. Very nice. So the 5 o'clock hour brought to us by I didn't do it with that's Warren G. Harding.
That's Tyrone's favorite Warren G.
Warren G. Harding, folks.
There you go.
There you go. Years later, he surfaced.
Yeah.
On 2-1 and Lewis, yeah. Some brothers shooting dice. So I said, let's do this. Nice. I jumped out the rock.
This takes me back to middle school.
That's
go.
Right.
Guided door and window brings you to 5 o'clock hour. You buy any window or door, get the second at 50% off, plus interest free financing for up to 18 months. Call Guided Door and Window today. 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them online at GOGUIDA.com. All right, let's get as many calls as we can. People want to get it off their chest after what they witnessed last night in Barry, Northern New Jersey. Barry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Barry. How are you?
Good. Thanks for the piece on Jay Wright. What a quality guy. Very humble.
Yes, he is.
Two-part question, just real quick. Uh-huh. What's your prognosis on what happens to Villanova with Jay leaving? And, I mean, what a story career he has in a city that's, you know, very tough with sports and demands the best. First question. Second question, can I get your five all-time best Sixers from the Will Chamberlain era until now?
Oh, my God. All right, so first of all, Jay is it said that he worked really hard with the transition, meaning the three quality recruits that he got, he thinks are going to stay at Villanova. And Kyle Neptune, being a former Villanova assistant, was probably involved in the recruiting of some guys that are on the team right now. I don't know after this, you know, like Kyle Neptune is going to keep these premier guys, and it's going to be up to him to continue to win to keep Villanova to be as attractive as they can. Because a lot of people, let's face it, a lot of players that Jay recruited a certain type of player, but also a quality player, especially the last few years, you know, the quality of the player he recruited was very high.
Right. No.
I don't know. I don't know what the state of that will be. Kyle Neptune's got his work cut out for him to get that kind of recruit.
Yes, agreed.
Okay, and the other question was my top five Sixers.
Your five all time Sixers. I have a
going back to Will.
From going back to Will, I've got such a hard time with my favorite Sixer all time was Dr. J, and I can't say he's the best ever, but in my opinion, he's my favorite. But I mean, you got Moses and you got Will, you got Embiid, and you got so many great players. Who would your five?
Right now, I would go Wilt, AI, Barkley, Dr. J. Can I put two centers on it? Because that's where you get into problems. Because Moses would obviously be the likely guy there.
But
that would give me two centers. So I don't know who I would go with after that. Maybe Hal Greer if you needed another guard.
Okay. Not Cheeks.
No, I would go Greer over Cheeks. Jerome in Elkins Park. Oh, I've been waiting all day for this call. What's up, Jerome?
Hey, Mike.
What's going on, Dan? Jerome? How you feeling?
I'm okay. How about you? You guys?
Yeah, I'm depressed.
Well, hey, it's not like the series is over.
No, but they got to win game six.
Well, or game seven.
Well, game seven, I'm afraid of, because that would be pucker time.
Well, hey, it's here, so the advantage, home court, right?
Yeah, well. Okay. So was last year, too.
That was last year, but we've improved with the acquisition of the point guard, number one.
Yeah, see, you're being sarcastic.
I'm being serious.
You're being sarcastic.
I'm not, Mike. That's your department. Yeah. Look. I am really liking the NBA playoffs because there's been these surprises about teams that people said were going to Brooklyn, you know, they projected them to like be in the, you know, the finals, and they get knocked off in four. Did not see that coming. Mm-hmm. The climb of Boston, and Horford found a situation that was suitable for him. C.J. McCollum, I thought he was just riding on, you know, the coattails in Portland, mm-hmm, of the guy I can't think of, you know, with the most notoriety.
Right.
But you just watch a few of the games, I mean, that he's played. I mean, he could play, it's positionless basketball, so he can kind of, I saw set up passes and things, you know, and plus the offense he provides.
Yeah, he's a good player.
Yeah.
C.J. McCollum's a good player.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is may not roll over too good with you guys, but you know, see, I try to keep it at least 99%. I appreciated the fact in that game, the one that just happened, that the Toronto Raptors did not try to rush it. They didn't let, you know, the surrounding areas of a, you know, adversary's arena change that. They played deliberate. And that's what the Sixers are going to have to do.
Yeah, they also scored on transition off of turnovers, too.
Yeah, but, you know, people go, that's the only, but in the game as it was going down, it was a set-up offense. They were coming down many possessions and utilizing the clock. They ran the clock down and still scored.
Yeah.
You saw it.
Yeah,
and unfortunately,
yeah, they outflanked the Sixers in every way. They moved the ball. They were quicker. They recovered. They did everything right. And it's
yeah. I mean, as far as you know, they didn't. You know, they utilized the shot clock. MB with his statements after the game. I know my time is running out. There's so many subjects, but I can't do a max contract for Harden. That's just me. Can't.
Yeah, well, again, we're worried about the max contract for Harden, and I don't understand why. You know, your perspective may completely change if, like, he plays a great game six, they close it out, or if he comes out in game seven and rescues them, and then they go on to play the Heat, and they play really well. Like, the chapter is not written yet. But I don't know why people worry. Why do you worry about the max contract? Why would you care? They give him a max contract, they give him a max contract. People think that because you're not going to give him a max contract, that somehow frees up money to sign other people. It doesn't. You're going to have to make other moves to free that up to get out. And you're going to change the complete dynamic of your team. So I don't know what they're going to do. All I can tell you is the Sixers are thinking they might be able to do something different with Harden and not have to be forced into the max. Laura in Rockledge. Laura, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Laura.
Michael, good afternoon, I think.
Hello, Laura.
I have been so pissed off since last night that I am just, like, exhausted at this point. Are you guys feeling that? Like,
I got out a lot. During the game, I was kind of fired up, and I was tweeting up stuff that I couldn't believe I was watching. And now I kind of feel like I'm like there's a little depression has set in that it's possible that they could possibly lose this series. I never thought that was possible.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, I have eaten every single one of my words from exactly a week ago. Amazing how 1 week changes the whole, you know. I said, you know, if the Raptors had any prayer of, you know, winning, they had to win game three because they'll never lose or win game four. Wrong.
Yeah.
And, you know, I also said nobody needs to get hurt, and now we've got Joel hurt. And I'll tell you, coming off of recent hand and wrist surgery myself, a torn ligament is not great. The pain may, after the initial, and I'm not even sure when the initial injury happened, but after it only feels better if you don't use it anymore. But regardless of that, now our team is, and I've said this before, it's our team is conditioned to be focused on Joel being perfect all the time. And as soon as that doesn't happen, they fall apart. And I saw two games last night. I saw a basketball game that Toronto was playing, and then I saw a game of hot potato that the Sixers seemed to be playing. You know, like when Joel's passing it to you, Maxie, shoot the ball. Maybe he doesn't feel comfortable shooting the ball. Stop passing it back and forth 16 times. Like, it was so infuriating and so frustrating. And
Well, listen, Laura, I'm glad that you got it off your chest. That last sigh told everything. You got it off, and all you have left is a sigh. But again, there's a game six on Thursday. Could go into Toronto and really play like men.
Thankfully, games are 7 o'clock.
Yeah, 8 o'clock is no good.
It's terrible.
Jamie in Reading is joining us. What's up, Jamie?
What's up, guys?
Hello, Jamie.
My question is, how much longer do you think Embiid's going to stick around Philly?
I mean, I don't know about his contract. It was no trade clause. What? But how long do you think he's going to stick around for this process to materialize?
Well, why would he not stick around?
Well,
why would the Sixers move him?
No, why would he, I'm saying he just wants to win before he.
Yeah, but so you think he would demand a trade? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just throwing it out there. When does a human being and an athlete, a superior athlete like him, I mean, with everyone moving, LeBron and so forth, when does he say enough's enough? I want a chance.
Well, I don't know. They made him the centerpiece of the franchise and paid him accordingly. So I would think that he would want to stick around as they try to build around him. It's not like they tried something really bold by trading for Harden to put around them. I mean, it's not like they're not trying.
No, I understand that, but it's just when is he going to, I mean, I don't know. I'm just,
he's 27 years old, and he's got a Supermax deal here. So he's got a 4-year contract.
All right. Well, like I said, I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah, I know. We're throwing a lot of stuff out there today, which is fine. Like why would he want to? Like, the Sixers certainly don't want to move him. Would never want to move him, and unless he would pull something like he wants to get out of here, I don't think he would be that type of guy.
He does like it here, yeah. But I mean, winning is most important.
Yeah,
you don't think you can ever win here? You have to ask for a trade because people are going to blame you for the losses.
Yeah, so he said, I want to be traded to Miami.
No, he just said,
I want to be traded to the Lakers. No. Like somewhere, some destination.
Yeah, I just want out.
Mm-hmm.
I want out. You guys can't.
I guess he could say that. Clarence is calling from North Carolina. What's up, Clarence?
Hey, what's up, Mike?
What's going on, Clarence? How you doing?
Good afternoon.
Good. How you doing?
I had two parts to say. I wanted to make a comment on the part about you guys said what you could put on the pretzels is just mustard. I went to a prestigious high school out there. Those guys were putting cream cheese.
That's disgusting.
Come on, Tyrone. You got to try it, bro.
I don't like cream cheese on anything.
Oh, I can go cream cheese on a bagel. It's kind of the same thing. You're putting it on bread.
I don't like it on bagels neither.
Get it, Mike. I knew you would get it,
bro. You know, I'm a bagel and cream cheese man.
Yeah, I'm telling you, bit the pretzel and the cream cheese, can't beat it. But my Sixers point I had, you know, with them losing Game 5 last night at home, I'm just trying to figure out what's their move for Game 6, Mike, in Toronto.
Well, you know, it's an interesting question. I don't know, but I got to think that they have to. They understand they have to play with a lot of urgency and get on top of this team and control the game. I think they really have to control the game against Toronto. They don't want them to get any momentum because I haven't seen enough fight in the Sixers. And I worry if Toronto gets up early in that building, like they would wilt. Like, I think they got to take charge from the jump.
Is New Ain't going to get any more minutes? Because Danny Green is killing me.
You know? Well, he made a few shots last night. He missed a couple of wide open shots. You talking bang bang Niang? You talking about?
Well, hey Mike, you know what? I guess the shots that you seen Danny make, I missed seeing him make them.
Well, he made 4 of 9 last night. Now the glaring ones are he had 2 wide open shots in the fourth quarter,
okay.
And he missed them. But he did, like, he was 4 for 7 before those 2 misses.
Okay,
but bang bang, George Niang is not going to be effective in a series against athletes.
I just like his perimeter game.
You do, huh? Against that team, his perimeter game last night, 13 minutes of slog. You like his perimeter game? What are you talking about?
I didn't see him, Mike. My bad.
All right, okay, that's all right. George Niang's going to be the difference in this series. He's like the anti-Raptor.
Yeah, I didn't expect that. You know, that's good. You never know. You get surprised. That's what's good about Sports Talk Radio. You never know. You never know.
All right. Let's go to Al.
I should have known based on that cream cheese thing.
Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Al. Yo, Al.
Hey.
What's up, Al?
First time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
Boston Celtics fan.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you a statement, and then you can go and get rid of me.
Mm-hmm.
Pick the Sixers tomorrow night or Thursday night, they're going to win by 7 or more.
Oh, I like that. And what makes you think that?
Huh?
What makes you think that?
I just watch NBA basketball for the whole year. I watch the officials. I watch what's happening.
Right.
I watch how players react.
Yeah.
And I just think the Sixers are in. They're in.
Did you watch them last night?
Toronto cannot play with the Sixers three times in a row. They can't do it.
Okay, you might be right. I hope you are right. But like off of last night's performance, what makes you think that they're going to be so good again?
Last night, they had a letdown. Forget it.
They had a letdown in game four, too.
Well, that's okay.
Why?
That's the way that game's played.
All right. Listen, I hope you're right. I think winning game six is a must, frankly. And if they don't, then I'm not sure what the future is for this franchise.
Well, you guys, you know what? Everybody talks about the craziest things on your program. Franchise, Sixers, bring Jalen back to Philadelphia. All this crazy stuff. It's crazy. Pick the Sixers.
All right. I don't know what's crazy about it. It's just sports conversation, Mr. Celtic. That's a good team. That Celtic team's a good team.
Yes, they are.
They could be the best team.
Mm-hmm. They got toughness because guys like Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, Tatum won't let them down ever.
I think it's more their talent.
You know, they got great talent. I mean, Tatum and Brown are talented, but Marcus Smart gives them a toughness that, like, prevents them from bolting. And even Horford is back playing tough.
I think it was that they were more talented.
Yeah.
I didn't think they were tougher, but they got pressed
in the end.
Yeah.
And they were unfettered.
Yeah, because
they made the plays.
They made shots because they're more talented.
Yeah.
I don't think it was toughness.
You don't think Marcus Smart is tough?
I think Marcus Smart has a reputation of toughness.
You don't think he's tough?
I don't think he plays tough? I don't think he's soft, but I don't think the Celtics are a particularly tough team. I think they have two elite wings that are hard, and not many teams are equipped to guard two elite wings.
Yeah. I love Jaylen Brown. I love the way he plays.
Yeah, Tatum's a superstar.
Yep. Cool in South Philly. What's up, Cool?
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
I ain't gonna lie, man. I'm shook. I was one of the ones that was shook in the beginning because the last two times we played them and we lost, they didn't have Fred VanVleet. And if you look at the game that Maxie got off, if you look at the lineups, when Fred VanVleet came back, it messed up their rotation against
Correct.
Us. And what I seen was they were smothering Scotty Barnes, even though he's a rookie of the year. Young bull 6'10", wingspan, he frustrates Harden. Even on one bad ankle, he's Harden can't do nothing against him. He don't even want to put up shots against the dude. And what I see now, they're able to switch. Even Maxie now can't get that corner on VanVleet. When we had VanVleet and Trent, we was attacking both of them. And we've had three mismatches. We had Trent. We can get mismatch on Trent, mismatch on Fred VanVleet, and we had Embiid that was bigger. As soon as Fred VanVleet went out, the dynamics went back to them having four forwards. None of them are small. Mm-hmm. All 6'6", all can switch, and now we getting ran off the court.
You're right. I can't say you're wrong. You're right.
It's scary. I hope that tomorrow, Thursday night, we just beat them with talent, and they just have an off night, and we get out of this round.
Because
they building up their confidence, but they made a mistake. Like, two things happened in this series that was a mistake, where it was coincidence. Danny Green, Doc Rivers didn't call for Danny Green. We had to play Danny Green. It's not like Doc Rivers said, look, we're going to put Danny in because of this. No, Matisse Thybul, that was a mistake. That just had to happen. The same way with Fred VanVleet going out or coming back in, messed up their rotation because they were playing without him. They went on a run without Fred VanVleet at the end of the season. So it's like those two things were out of our control, and now they're going back into their regular rotations, and it's scary, man. We got to get out of there. We got to get out of there.
I agree. Game six, Cole. Game six. Has to be the game. Let's take a break. Still plenty of show left. And on the other side, Jamie Foxx going at Stephen A a little bit.
It was dumb.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Alrighty, final Twitter poll numbers coming your way. Brought to us by Paul B. Moore and Sons in Doylestown. If you got power equipment and you need new stuff, Paul B. Moore is the place to go. If you've got old stuff you need serviced, Paul B. Moore is the place to go. Just check out maintenance at poweredbymoyer.com. Jen Scorto, final numbers on our polls.
Final numbers. We know Embiid has to find a way to be better in game 6 or 7 to save the series. Will any other Sixers players step up? 13% now say Harden will. 14% Tobias will. 32% nobody's going to step up. And 41% say Maxi will step up. And if the Sixers blow a 3-0 lead, can Harden, Morey, or Rivers return next year? 2% say Doc can. 14% say Harden can return. 29% say almost go. 55% say Morey can come on back.
All right. Come on back, Daryl. All right, Fanatic Deal of the Week. If you're stuck on what to get mom for Mother's Day, I know it's a perplexing question. How about the gift of floating? Float on, as Modest Mouse would say. Fanatic's Deal of the Week, a 90-minute float at Halcyon Floats for just $35. Relax, recover, reset. You float. Think about nothing. Get this deal while supplies last. It's on our website, 975thefanatic.com. Just a reminder, Thursday, we will be doing a show on the road in honor of the draft. Broadcasting live. Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Fanatics Draft Day headquarters. Chickies and Pete's, the home of the real Philly sports fans and world-famous Chickie Crab Fries. And again, don't forget Allen Iverson tomorrow. Probably about 3:30 for AI. As we'll talk about the Sixers with the great Allen Iverson. All right, one quick thing before we get back to the phone. So Jamie Foxx took a shot at Stephen A. Stephen A, of course, called Ben Simmons the weakest, most pathetic excuse for a professional athlete we've ever seen, not just American history, but in the history of sports. And Jamie tweeted back, that is completely unfair. Ben Simmons has a family. This man has people that love him, and this man just plays basketball. But to be dragged through the mud like this is unfair.
Shut up, Jamie. Seriously, shut up. You don't know anything about sports. Just because you were in Any Given Sunday, you do a sports book commercial. You don't know anything about sports. Stephen A. said athlete. He didn't say man. Mm-hmm. He didn't say human being. He didn't say son, father, etc. He said athlete. And it is true. There has never been in the history of sports an athlete who made a documentary for himself. The number one pick in the draft who decided to not play the profession in which they're supposed to enjoy, and they definitely make millions of dollars. This is, shut up, Jamie. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And I don't even want to defend Stephen A. Smith. It's just, that's stupid. Of course they have a family. If somebody shoots you, they have a family. You're allowed to be mad at them. Uh-huh. They shot you.
Yeah.
What is this? He's got a family.
Yeah, no, I with the sympathy for Ben Simmons. If he was a Nets fan, I don't know if he'd feel the same way.
Are they friends?
No, I don't know. Well, Stephen A. apparently is friends with Jamie Foxx.
Yeah, I don't know why. Jamie.
If Jamie had a problem with Stephen, he could have probably called him and said,
are Jamie and Ben Simmons friends?
I don't think so. I never heard of that they are.
Me neither.
So.
It's just peculiar that he would use that. Like, oh, yeah, can you believe poor Ben Simmons? I mean, Stephen A. Smith called him out on not playing basketball. Stephen A. didn't say anything about him other than the basketball stuff and the ridiculous outfits.
Yeah.
And everyone talked about that. Why is he drawing that much attention?
Jamie is also, I think he's saying, you're picking on the black athlete. He said, why is it you only go to basketball players? You are completely mute when it comes to Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers of the world. You get where I'm going. Stop it, bro. It's out of bounds.
That's also stupid. Stephen A. has to do his job. And see, that's the problem. People say that to me on an obviously much, 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 much lesser scale. And the people are a lot stupider probably than Jamie Foxx to say it to me. But they'll be on me. Like if Jalen Hurts has a bad game, I'm bad because I say it.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to just ignore the fact, or like it's stupid. Like, he did his job. Was Stephen A. not going to talk about the fact that this guy quit? Was he not supposed to talk? It was the biggest story in sports nationally on that particular day.
Yeah, there's a postscript to the Ben Simmons story, because stress was causing the back pain.
Yes.
Apparently it was the mental state. He's back to the mental state. I will say that there is a connection between mental state and back pain. There's this book out there, Curing Back Pain Through... What is that book called? I had, because when I had back problems, I read that too, and that didn't heal me as much as the surgery did.
Oh, the surgery was better?
Yeah, the surgery actually took care of the problem. So, whatever. Healing back pain? Yeah, is it healing back pain?
The mind-body connection?
But yeah, the mind-body connection. Healing back pain and mind-body connection by some doctor, right?
Yeah.
John, yeah, I bought the Sarno? Book. I read it. Sarno.
Yeah.
That's who it is. All right. Yeah, that didn't work for me. I tried to mentally push through the fact that there was a disc on my nerve root. So
that was the issue. Yes. The issue with Simmons, it might be true, but then now how many different reasons has he given now?
That's the thing. You know, he's just picking stuff out of the air to justify his nonsense.
At some point, we're allowed to do the whole boy who cried wolf thing. He said a billion different things. If stress causes my back to tighten up, had he just said that from the beginning, mm-hmm. we would go, all right. Mm-hmm. Instead, it was the fans. It was Doc. It was Embiid. It was my own team. I want less pressure. I want this. I need to be allowed to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And now
I'm ramping up.
I'm ready to play. He picked the time to return.
Yeah.
Not the Nets. The Nets would have had him mm-hmm. playing the game after the Sixers game. So that's.
And then the time came and it was fright night again. All right, Nancy in Philly. What's up, Nance?
Hey, so listen.
Hello, Nancy.
How you doing?
Good.
First of all, I don't appreciate that Celtics fan being on our airwaves. Anyway, that being said.
Correct.
I don't think that our problem is like a talent problem or a strategy problem. I think it's an emotional problem. Like, what the hell is up with these dudes? Like, what is up with them? It's almost like, you know how you have a straight-A kid and they come home with a C and you're like, yo, what's up? Like, really good basketball teams don't play like that. That was horrible yesterday. Horrible.
You know, it's funny. Like, professional athletes ascend to such a level, and they do it through competition and competing and working at it. And last night, when the moment called for compete, and you got a lot of advantages to help you compete last night, they don't compete. Yeah. That's what I don't get.
Right, and you know what? This is not the first time they've done that. So honestly, I love my team, but then I don't know if they deserve to go to the second round. If this is who they are, because they've done that with Boston, they did it with the Nets, now they're doing it here. They've done it with other teams not as good as those teams.
Yeah, but see, that would only be our misery. If they don't go to the second round, Nancy, life goes on for those guys. It's the fans that will suffer for a long time.
In the second round or the third. Like,
but if they at least get to the second round and we can justify, all right, maybe the Heat were better. And they still would have a chance to beat the Heat. You can't just say, they don't deserve to go to the second round. I want them to go to the second round.
I don't know, man, because it's just going to be heartbreak that's prolonged. I need them to show
I
need them to be able to, like, be those guys.
I get it. I'm picturing, like, they lose a series. You think they're going to, go into the isolation and cry for seven straight days? The fans are going to be doing that.
Yeah.
Players aren't.
Well, players have to be hardwired to not do that, because they're always about the next game.
Exactly.
They can't do that. Fans, we can do that. We can stay upset some people still upset since 1977 about the Sixers, because I know some of them, because they're my family. They've been upset ever since that series.
You know, it's hard for me is as the youngster, too.
See?
Series.
What I mean.
I literally could not believe they lost that series.
Right. So, but Doc had to just worry about the next game. Like, that's what they have to, because if they wallow on, if they go into game six, worried about games four and five, they'll definitely lose.
Yeah.
They have to put it to the side and just come out and be better. They can't wallow in it.
By the way, I'm watching that Winning Time thing on HBO,
yeah.
Right? No. This was the actual documentary that Magic put together. Magic conveniently left out
any remnants of 83. They completely left it out of the picture. They went from 81 to 84 in the documentary, like it never happened.
Wow.
You know, they glorified the fact he came into the spectrum and played center for Kareem all over that documentary. Then they didn't win the next year. And then the Sixers beat him in 83. No mention. Swept.
Yeah, no.
Come on, Magic.
I wonder, it gets to the Pistons days when they lose to the Pistons. I wonder.
Oh, yeah. You know, they get the whole kissy face.
Oh, that
Isaiah did with him, and Isaiah's in it a lot.
They were tight.
Yeah, they were tight, and he didn't even say, well, you know, it didn't go well for us in '83. They ignored it completely.
Kind of makes me not want to watch.
Come on, man, right. That's an insult. Yeah. All right, let's go to John in Exton. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yeah, Mike, love the show today. Been having a good time listening. I never thought about bologna and hot dog that way, but you're exactly right.
It's the same thing. It's the same goop, like grounded together and squeezed out of a tube to make both the hot dog.
You're not going to like this, but I'm exactly with Tyrone. The one side, the other side with the ketchup or the mustard, I do it on that, but if I think about it on a bologna sandwich, I'm about to throw up. I don't know what I mean.
You're not going to put ketchup on the bologna. See, your brains are wired differently here with this. It's the same thing.
I don't understand it either, but I never would have even thought about it that way until you brought it up. I was just like, oh my God, you're right. Ah. Oh, the other thing about you were saying about the Phillies tonight with the Rockies.
Yeah.
The over-under, I actually looked, is 8 on runs. With those batting averages, should we take the over? Is that where we should go with this?
I assume they're going to score some runs tonight. Yeah, like both pitchers have had a tough time.
Those numbers were unbelievable that you came up with.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you know, so then it never plays out that way anyway and you lose. So, I mean, that's just the way that goes. But anyway, my Sixers point was, could Tyrese Maxey just maybe try and take about 10% of the speed off what he was trying to do every time he touched the ball last night and just about fell down several times, and then give it to James Harden so that he could speed up his thought process just a little bit and distribute the ball a little quicker? The team could be so much better that way. I mean, I'm just...
Listen, Doc's in the lab right now. He's got 2 days lab time. We'll see what he comes up with.
Well, and hopefully, because that way it seems like they would just be in so much better rhythm if they, you know, if Harden would pick it up a little and Maxey would just slow down even a little bit. He seems to be pressing really hard.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's not getting his free because those guys are athletic and they're bigger and, you know, he's having less space on the floor to do what he wants to do.
Well, that's true, too.
All right, John.
He's not a big dude, but anyway, yeah, no, thank you so much.
You hang in there, brother. They're going to win game six, man. Hopefully.
Oh, God, I hope.
All right, man. All right, so we'll leave you with this here. The National Hot Dog Council is totally against the ketchup. Like they abhor the ketchup on a hot dog. This is the National Hot Dog Council, Tyra. These are the experts.
So what?
Yeah, see, that's just disappointing that they want people to buy less of their product, a product that shouldn't exist as it is, all right?
Soiling hot dogs with ketchup is a perverse abomination. And one that I find difficult to discuss, says the hot dog councilman.
Yeah, see. Who voted him in?
The council has declared that the use of ketchup on your hot dog after the age of 18 is simply unacceptable.
But they don't mention that eating a hot dog, period, after the age of 12 is an
You know, tonight is dollar dog night.
That's right. First one, I think.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Dollar dog night at the park tonight.
Right, well, it's not a holiday. Knock yourselves out. But come Memorial Day, the next holiday, if you're eating it, you're a sucker. And then 4th of July, if you do it, you're a loser. Nothing. And then if you do it on Labor Day, you're a fraud.
A charcoal grilled dog.
It is.
So good.
It is on the high holy days. Elevate yourself. Do yourself a favor. Treat yourself on the high barbecue holy days.
I do. I mix in the good stuff. But you can't go wrong with a hot dog. Like a hot dog like is like an app for me.
Yeah.
I grab a hot dog. If I want to get a steak, a layer of some ribs.
There you go.
Your chicken, whatever.
Hot dog first.
Yep.
No, we don't set that up like that.
All right, that's ready.
You know, that special order off the grill. What I look like? I'm working for you. You can leave my house.
We're never going to be invited, Mike.
No, I guess not. Sound off's coming up after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off. Sound
off. You gotta be faithful to me. What in the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
Oh, you don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number five will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
Keep going. Sound off.
Oh, it's time for sound off. 610-771-9705. 610-771-9705. I'm fortunately going to be a short sound off, but I know it's going to be potent. Let's get right to it.
Every playoff series the same. You jump out to an early lead, and then you can't match the team desperation because your gut, the amount of times they passed the ball 30 feet from the basket, 20 seconds into the shot clock last night, each one of them hoping they wouldn't be the last one with the ball. That same possession happened 30 times last night. I can't believe you let a team without Fred VanVleet come into your building with a 3-1 lead and beat you by 20. That is pathetic!
Yeah, well, that's post-game. A visceral reaction there, my man. I like it.
You know, I'm actually glad Thibault's not fully vaccinated because that means he won't be able to play in game six. It'll be addition by subtraction. He stinks.
Well, listen, he did it to himself and he did it to the team. Missing two games and then, like, getting out of sync. You could tell, obviously. But did he care? He should know the ramifications.
Last month, I told you that James Harden is Ryan Howard, circa 2011-2012. You laughed, you brushed up, poo-poo, all that. He stinks. He is. He's washed up. He might be 2015 Ryan Howard. He's terrible.
Oh, you and good Tyler Wall for you.
Laughed at me over a month ago. Saying, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. He's washed up. Cooked, done, he's fried. Washed up.
You know, since you have such great wisdom, I would encourage you to apply for a position here at 97.5 Fanatic. Eric Camille, our assistant program director, send your resume in and we'll see if you can, we can make it happen for you.
I, for one, would love to hear more from him. I would love.
Why are you wasting your time doing what you're doing, bro?
Hey, come do this.
Let's go.
Getting outscored in the paint is like getting a slap right in the face. Meanwhile, our big man, the MVP, is 30 feet out from the basket. That's coaching, Mikey Miss. Doc Rivers can't coach a bag of donuts. Embiid's got to get down low.
And tough to for anybody coach a bag of donuts. So. I don't know. Really? You can get a donut.
I couldn't do that.
Yeah, it's hard to get a donut to react to what you want him to do, right?
Right. Just like we know, there's times yesterday he should go down low. But what people, I had somebody tell me today that he should be down low every possession. That's what they're really asking for.
Yeah, well.
And that's not smart.
And it's not realistic either, so.
Daryl Morey had googly eyes for James Harden because he thought it was the same guy that was in Houston with him. He clearly is not. Now, he can probably be a really good player next year if he dropped about 15 pounds and came into camp in tip-top shape. Stay away from the strip clubs and the buffalo wings and get yourself in shape. Because, the older you get in any sport that you play, the better shape you have to stay in.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he's in bad shape. I think his legs are still bothering him. I wouldn't be averse to him losing a couple of LBs. It's like anybody. I think, you'd be lighter, you'd be quicker. But I think it's his legs, and we'll see next year.
Wow. just wow. If Toronto really needs Scotty Barnes that much that he balances out the team, or does our coach just stink at getting the players to do what they need to do? We're more talented than that team. No, we may not be deeper, but we should be able to demolish them when they're not at full 100% strength.
Yeah, but they're athletic, man, and they play with abandon, and that's the difference. They seem to have a devil-may-care attitude, and they have hunger. Hey, let's go out and just play. And that's the difference. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Oh, that'll do it for today. Thanks, everybody, for your reactions. It was great. I hope it, you got a lot off your chest. We got to wait till Thursday for the next step. Tomorrow's show features Allen Iverson. They'll be on about 3:30. Stay tuned. Devon Gibbons has you for the rest of the evening. Devon should have a lot of great views on what happened last night. And on NBC Sports Philly, you got Phillies coverage starting with the Phillies pregame live and Phil's and Rockies tonight. Phil's a favorite with Zach Eflin going. Have a great night, everybody. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.